presents 60 Seconds with Computer, the non-rapping cowboy loving member of 3-6 Mafia.
Like I said before, you can't beat the damn refs. That man pushed off and pushed that man down. They didn't even call it. I'm tired of this shit. Oh, why the hell we gotta have it so damn bad? I don't understand this. I don't understand why we don't never get any calls. And they always call me damn calls. And it's damn that man pushed that man off. And it's ain't right. I'm tired of this shit. I can't take it no more. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't.
Listen to the voice of the Mavericks, Mark Folliwell, and his fast break buddy, Jake Kemp, after every Mavs home game on the Mavericks post game show. Brought to you by Smith Thompson Home Security and Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Did that?
Hold on. Let me just do this. We have to. And then we're going back to that.
Oh, my God.
We'll hear it again.
What just happened?
And we're going to replay that. First, just know that Taverna Rosa in Plano, celebrating North Texas Beer Week, 25 craft beers on tap. The Hardline will be part of the celebration. They broadcast their show live there this Thursday, starting at 3. Preston Road, just south of Spring Creek in Plano. All right. Let's,
do we need to check on him?
Oh, computer. Gosh. Now, Donovan told me, like he asked me before the show, Donovan records that call for us. Do you remember Donovan? And he's like, what time are you guys playing it? Okay, I got to tune in. I got to hear it because I heard it on my phone, but I got to hear how it sounds over the airwaves. It sounded pretty short. Do you want to hear it again?
Man.
Did he break down?
Yeah, that's pretty much the only explanation there. There's no way he would yank our chain in these circumstances. This is authentic.
It's only 36 seconds, his shortest of the season by far.
Okay.
Like I said before, you can't beat the damn refs. That man pushed off and pushed that man down. They didn't even call it. I'm tired of this shit. Oh, why the hell we got to have it so damn bad? I don't understand this. I don't understand why we don't never get any calls. And they always call me damn calls. And it's damn, that man pushed that man off. And it's ain't right. I'm tired of this shit. I can't take it no more. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't.
I love him so much.
I aspire to care about anything.
Wow.
As much as he cares about that.
Let's delete it.
You're an idiot. It's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
It's a beautiful picture of humanity that should be celebrated by all.
He's a good man. But wow. I hope he's okay today. Everybody check on computer. Make sure he's okay.
Computer!
That's a man who...
I would say give him his space.
...is not happy when the Cowboys aren't doing well. Well,
so,
do it with care.
Is he talking about the overtime touchdown?
Yeah.
When Byron Jones got juked?
Yeah.
By Jordan Matthews?
I think so.
That he pushed off him? Man, I thought...
I love Byron Jones.
I thought there could have been a lot of flags on that Dez touchdown. Dez pushed off. There's no doubt. But everybody was tackling everybody as well, so it seemed like there could have been a flag on Philly, but Dez definitely pushed that dude out of his way before making his leap. And
not quite like Terrence Williams, though. Terrence had a hard time not making that look obvious on that touchdown. And by the way, that turned into a really big deal because that's points, man. In an overtime game, that's what Jason was talking about. He referenced that last drive before halftime. And that was the drive where Castle hit Terrence Williams for a touchdown that got called back on the OPI. And they end up punting at the end of that drive. They got backed up.
Where are you? The end of the first half?
Yeah, the end of the first half.
Did you think that was... I mean, he touched his back. Am I a crazy Cowboys homer to think that shouldn't have been called?
Dez was more blatant.
No, you just can't...
Take a look.
Terrence had both arms extended, like... I think Dez is
the guy was pushed to the ground by Dez.
There's a lot of scrum going on.
But
something
when you're
the
only two guys in the picture, yeah,
that's
you're probably going to.
I almost look like in this castle thing. The ball is so high; it really looked like one of those the duck in a giant stadium. And in that situation, it almost went to Hail Mary rules, where pretty much anything does go. Man, I'm so distracted by computer. We might need to check on him. Wow!
Call him.
Come on, Lino. Be cool, Lino.
Play it again.
Wait, where's my phone?
You want me to call him?
I dialed up. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, what about that end of the first half? How does my innovating leader, Chuck Kelly, just let the clock run down?
Chuck Kelly?
Or whatever his name is.
Did they hire friends Chuck? Call him Chuck.
Is Chuck Kelly going to be coaching the Eagles soon?
Now, that would be a story. Let's see.
Remember them running the clock down for like a minute and 10 or whatever?
Yeah.
Like,
but he went for it on a fourth down in overtime that I'm not positive our leader would have. Did you guys have Garrett going for it on that fourth down in overtime?
Never. No. Never, never, no. And, well, that's one of those things. It worked. But if you give the Cowboys the ball right there, how much do they need for field goal range? I'm not saying the Cowboys can absolutely get it, but
like on that fumble,
where they went for it on first.
I know, but on the fourth down they went for it on overtime was the fumble that got reviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they get the ball at the 40. You had Beasley underneath once or twice. Bailey's kicking. You're getting out of here.
Right. I'm saying that's a decision that worked.
I agree.
So you perhaps will laud him in Philly, but boy, if that doesn't work. All right, I'll track home. Let's see. Let's call computer.
Yeah. We promised we had no idea this was about to take this turn.
Well, I mean, you know, we kind of did, but whatever.
You did.
Yeah, you're the bad guy.
You and Donovan were hiding this from us.
Hello?
Computer.
Yeah, what's up?
Dude, are you okay? It's Bob and Dan.
We're on the air.
Oh. No.
Bro.
Are you okay, man?
Yeah, dude. I'm tired of losing.
I know. We're just checking on you, man. We're making sure you're okay. It looks like you took that loss really hard, and we love you. You're a computer. You're our guy.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to act like this on a football game, man, but...
What time did you go to sleep, man?
I slept by. It just bothered me. I tossed and turned all night.
All right, but you're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't know. I just can't take it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be crying on the football team. Some of the bad stuff going on, but
dude,
I love the Cowboys, man. I gotta lose.
Dude, your quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, I know, but you can't beat the Rams, too. They be calling all them pillages. Don't call nothing else.
Oh, computer.
You're dragging us out in the media. I mean, everybody make a mistake. You know, I like to say you act. You come on with your wife and I with Nelly all night. Mess around, you know, stuff happens. You got to forgive people. Everybody ain't perfect. Nobody, some people just don't know how to act. You got to teach them. And then we lose these games. It's just,
come on, man.
This is 96. I don't understand it. Well, we just can't have no good luck.
You got to pop us on, man. We're going to make you feel better. Just put on the radio or something, and we'll shake this off together. We're going to get through this, man. They're 2-6. This may not be the year, but Romo's going to be back soon. You got to stay with us, computer. We're going to get this. We're going to get through this together.
Thank you. I love y'all.
You all right? We love you, computer. We need you. We need you laughing and doing whatever, chasing white girls. We need you in better spirits than this. This is we don't want to hear you like this.
Hey, where are the white women at?
There, that cheer you up.
Yes.
All right.
How do you feel about Garrett right now?
Now don't.
I'm asking a cowboy question.
I mean, to me, he did a terrible job this week. He knew that stuff was bothering that kid. You should have put him to the side and talked to him because he didn't want in the game. And Marinelli needs to sit the motherboard and play David Irv. Every time he comes in the game, he makes a play, but they take him out. I mean, if you got a player, I don't care if he was picked up off the street and you gave him other guys money, he is the one making a play. Leave him on the field.
Where'd they find that guy?
Why in the world are they moving in the slot corner? What Corey White at? Why didn't they leave him in the slot and left him at safe?
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on. Are they playing favoritism over there on that defense? What is Rob Marinelli doing? Corey White's been playing good. All of a sudden, now he's out.
I know, man.
And then we give up all the points in the fourth quarter because he's taking the young players. I don't care if he did pick them up off the street. David Irvin, every time he was in the game, they called his name. He either hit the quarterback, he's doing something.
Now he's
Green Hardy can't do it by himself.
David Irvin, though. Man. We might have found something there, computer. We might have a defensive tackle now.
They ain't going to let him go. They ain't
gonna
they going to want to keep Nick Hayes or somebody like that. I ain't doing a quarter.
Yeah, he might.
You know, Garrett needs to. I don't know, man. He might not be the man for the job because, to me, he ain't losing the team, but
Nick
like
Hayden,
they're playing
right?
without him.
Yeah.
Ain't making no kind of adjustments.
Well, computer, listen. Let's take a look.
And then the NFL, they so biased. All right. We got to play a rivalry game with a team that got our player from last year after they come off a bye. Every time we play somebody, it's a good team all about. Everybody get the player chopped when they come off a bye. You know, it's just like they got it slammed. They like to see us down. You know, because it's more Cowboy. It used to be more Cowboy lovers than it was haters. Now it's more Cowboy haters than they are lovers. So they satisfying the haters. And putting us at the expense. You know, you can't beat the refs. You can't beat the NFL. If it's one-on-one, another team beat us, I'm fine. I'm cool with that. When you got all the ever since the daggum, the guy over the referee's been on Jerry Buzz, I believe he told the refs, look, they think I'm in with Jerry and them. So any chance y'all get, always lean the other way. You know they done had that conversation.
Yeah.
It started with the dead catch. It's not a plan. It's not a level playing field. That's why I get so upset. You can't beat everybody else. They ain't got to beat another team because they got good athletes and coaches over there, too.
I know, but we don't want you upset. We want you to think about something else. I did tell you moments ago to turn us on, and we'll try to cheer you up. But you know what? We're going to talk football, and we don't want you thinking about football for a little while here. We want you to take a nice walk, take those dogs out for a walk, get some fresh air. Let's shake this off, man. This isn't going to beat us. You're a Cowboy fan. You're like the biggest Cowboy fan I've ever met. You know what comes with that computer? 5 rings. Huh?
Yeah, you're right.
Come on. Pop in a VHS of Super Bowl 30 and let's ride. Let's get through this.
Okay.
All right. Up top.
Hey, what do you... Right. Dez.
His name's not Dez. That's computer.
What do you think of Dez's monkey?
That's another thing. You know, everybody else got all these pets and stuff. What about all them homeless dogs walking around Dallas? Every time I come out, you see dogs all on the street. Why don't Peter go out and do something about that? Peter, while you listen to the radio, quit picking on Cowboy players and trying to make a name for yourself off of iPad.
There you go.
Do something with your life. Go get them little dogs off the street and rescue them dogs. Worried about some monkey. That monkey eating better than any of us here. Man with an air conditioner ride in the building probably got a platinum chain around his neck. And you worried about that monkey. That monkey ain't hurting. Go take care of them dogs out there in the street and the mother animals is suffering. Do your job.
All right. Hey, cheer up, man. Sun's out. We're doing good. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to get Romo back. And who knows? Might go on a run this year. But if not, 2016, man, going to have a great draft pick. Just fight the fight here, computer.
They're not.
All right. All right. We love you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk with you Friday. But come on, man.
I'll see y'all later. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Did you, were you aware I had a degree in professional counseling?
Yeah, you're terrible at it. No one's buying what you're saying.
I don't know what to say, really.
I really think he felt better by the end.
I do, too. I think I want him to be okay. I'm a little worried because I was expecting him to feel better today, and then we could laugh about
yesterday. I thought he would sound like he was awake.
It was like we were just talking to the voicemail.
I feel like he was laying under the sheets for the entire last 12 hours.
Everybody cheer computer up.
Did this segment have a sponsor?
It did. CaprockServices.com.
They got their money.
Let's remember what's really important here. It is.
Oh my!
Five rings, man. We need to fall back on that.
Those three Super Bowls.
Okay, we got audio coming up.
Or we'll do something.
We're gonna start with Hardy.
We might call Wittenbeck.
Obligatory Hardy audio is next.
So we've noticed something about the Norm and Donnie show, and about Norm in particular. And this happened a few weeks ago when the move was made, right at the beginning of the football season, I believe, when Donovan was added to Norm's show. So now it's the invasion. And we noticed that Norm was just maybe trying to act a little more hip.
Yeah, I noticed this like right away. Mm-hmm. Like day one of the Norm and Donnie show, Norm started using the term man a whole lot more. He was like his normal Norm sentence, but then there would be a man at the end of it when mm-hmm. he's talking to Donnie. And I thought, this is a little curious. And then as it's worn on, you know, as time has gone on, I thought, well, maybe that's just Norm being nervous and that'll go away here pretty soon. But no, I think Norm has gotten worse. And what I did is I've pulled three clips from Norm's show, Norm and Donnie's show, and you be the judge if you think Norm okay. is trying to work in a little bit more, appeal to younger people or a different demographic. I don't know. You be the judge.
Okay.
Nominated as a finalist for the 2015 National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award for Sports Station of the Year. This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
A 10:35 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Norm Hitchkiss, hanging loose with Donnie Do. And we're talking Cowboys, man. We're talking Cowboys. Donnie, good to see you. You look very good today, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Very good. Right on, Donnie. Listen, this Cowboy team has got to turn it around. I mean, they can't keep waiting for Tony to come back, man.
No. You know, they have to go about their business. There's absolutely no way they can expect Romo to come back and win every single game. He'll be out for like 8 weeks when he comes back.
True that. You know, Donnie, I'm going to just tell you straight up. You know, look, I like Matt Cassel. I don't want this to be construed as negative against Matt Cassel, but he is the biggest waste of human garbage I've ever seen in the NFL. And I don't mean that as a criticism, man. I don't mean it as a criticism. Know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of this team has to step up. They got to man up.
Yes, they do, man. They have to find a way to win a game without their big horses.
Hey, that's a good point, Donnie. Slap me some skin on that. Oh, appreciate it. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah, okay.
Sure enough. See what I'm talking
yeah.
about
yeah.
there?
Yeah. I noticed it there. Especially
there were just
at the
a
end.
Few little things that when he asked, but I don't remember being in Norm's show before.
I don't remember Norm ever asking anyone to slap him some skin.
No, yeah. I missed that part, too, because I listen to Norm and Donnie every day. I don't remember that.
All right, this next one is a clip of, I think Norm and Donnie are talking about receivers or something.
Okay.
Norm and Donnie doing what they do, weekdays from 10 till noon on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
All right, let's jump right back into it here, Donnie. Let's give the skinny on the receivers here, cool?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know if you noticed this, Donnie, but I just think that Jason Garrett needs to go to Terrence Williams and the other receivers and just get in their face and say, Holmes, you need to step it up, bro. I mean, you got to step it up until Dez gets back to 100%. I know he's back, but he's just not at 100%.
No,
I mean,
he's
man,
not.
He just...
His foot is, you can tell, you can see in the game against Seattle, he just wasn't right. But, yeah, you're right. Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams, Devin Street, they have to go out there and make some plays.
Cool. Yeah, cool. You know, thank God they were able to find Darren McFadden. That guy can run, man.
Yeah, he can. He's been playing really well.
Hey, you know, DeMarco Murray. Let's not kid ourselves. He was a bad mother. I mean, he was really good. He could run that rock. Homeboy was good. But, you know, we couldn't keep Murray. We know that. But then we get Joseph Randlin. Man, did that guy turn out to be whack, Donnie.
I didn't expect him not to produce the way he has. It's ridiculous.
And, Donnie, let me just say this, and I think you can dig it.
Okay.
I want to talk about it openly and not just slip it to you on the down low. Look, we're hearing that the Cowboys are letting Joseph Randle go, and you know what? That's cool with me, man. That's cool with me because that... The guy was bad news. Donnie, you probably remember when Randall got in trouble with the fuzz.
Oh, I did. Yeah, he had that altercation.
He lifted some threads.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And then he like took a hand to his woman, or what did he do? Showed her his gat? Or
yeah, I think he pulled a gun and had a confrontation with his baby's mom.
Ain't cool, man. Ain't cool.
No, that's not right.
You can't be out there acting like some jive turkey.
No, you can't. You have to respect women. Yes.
Okay, so that was the
second. Yeah, I noticed a lot there. I noticed it even more than the first
jive
clip
turkey.
We
had. So it's not really terms that are even
no,
used
that's
today.
The thing.
These
it's
are like 78
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's Norm's idea of cool talk ended in about 1978, 79, somewhere right around the end of the bicentennial. And then this next one, I think that Norm gets a little bit too personal, and it kind of offends Donnie a little bit. And I think Donnie handled it kind of well, but you could tell he was Norm was going a little too far.
Okay.
Bad radio, more like bald radio. Listen to Bob and Dan and their Faces for Radio today, noon till 3, on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Great, I hadn't heard that. I dig that. Bald radio. That's good. Norm, it's just Donnie Dew with you still Cowboy game here. Where'd you watch the game, Donnie? Were you just chilling at your pad?
No. I was
kind of styling when you're macking on some eats.
I was sitting right next to you watching it in the studio because we do the post game.
Yeah. What about your shawty? Did she watch the game at home? Your pad?
Well, yes, my wife was at home. Yes, she was watching the game.
Yeah, you're
at
shawty.
Home.
You know, you're a baller. I mean, you go downtown on her? You go downtown?
Well, that's really none of your business what we do in our bedroom.
Hey, great. Hey. Gotta plow that garden, Coltrane. Donnie, what I want to get into next is what the Cowboys can do to get better. He's Donnie Dew. I'm Norm Hitchens. We'll catch you on the flip side. Sorry about the shoddy thing. I didn't know. I thought
don't do it again.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Boy.
See? Did you hear that at the very end?
Yeah. I heard that.
You know what? It was even more noticeable in that third clip than it was even in the first two.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I guess Norm could see in Donnie's eyes that he wasn't exactly digging it. Because that segment was about 17 seconds long.
They were really short segments.
Said that they were going to catch him on the flip side.
You know what? I got to give you credit, Gordo, because my ear didn't catch that.
No,
but you're right. Norm
is
trying to act a little more hip.
You got to listen to it closely, but you'll find it. There you go. Let's close the audio vault.
All right. Good job, Gordo.
Here's Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
We're going to X out domestic violence. All right, then.
Thank you very much. Well, if you're a fan of this television show, this may come to a shock to you. I know there's a woman in my household that may be blown away by this as
Fancy
she lets her children watch this show. The show is The Voice, and the judge is up there, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
One is your boyfriend, and the other is the black guy that wears the Arby's hat. And the other two are Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Blake Shelton got divorced from his wife, Miranda Lambert, L. Chunkers.
Mm, she's more of a fluctuator.
Boy, what a massive fluctuator she is.
She's like she's like the country music Oprah.
Yes, she is. And then so they got divorced here. Not too terribly long ago, after 4 or 5 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, you will find Gwen Stefani. She, of course, the lead singer of No Doubt. And she and her husband, the great Gavin Rossdale. Of course, Mike, he the lead singer of Bush.
Hmm.
I hear they're hitting the road again soon.
Oh, my God.
Mike? That's all.
Oh.
No, that's all.
Just hear?
Just something I heard.
I love the, I hear they are hitting the road again soon. So she was married to Gavin for 13 years. They have a couple of kids with crazy names, like Quantro and Feet Man or something like that.
Quantro.
Feet.
And Feet Man.
Feet.
I don't know. You know, these celebrities name their kids the weirdest name possible. I get on the Afro-Americans and how they name their children, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that the women are in charge, that the men have no say in it.
Her kids' names are Kingston Rossdale, Zuma Nesta Rock Rossdale, and Apollo Bowie Flynn Rossdale.
What'd I tell you? What did I tell you? Not too much different from Quantro and Feet Man.
They've got four names.
Yeah, they do. You know why? Because celebrities are dumb. I'm not saying that you have to name everybody Chris or Steve.
She still looks amazing.
Steve!
I mean, at least in pictures.
Yeah, she does. She looks really good, and she looks good on The Voice. And, well, now it seems that those two recently divorcees might be making sweet time together, as they were spotted kind of hunking down together at a Halloween party. And I guess that they went on some private plane together to go somewhere. And she was on with Ryan Seacrest's radio show, and he asked about Blake Shelton. And this was a couple days ago, and she's like, I don't know, but is he not hot? And, like, he wasn't even inferring anything. He just said he didn't know any of this news. And she just
blurted
delivered
that out,
on,
huh?
Yeah, delivered on her own. Like, God, isn't he hot? So that would be the very, very rare country music, rock music power duo. Have we ever had that? Was Jerry Reed ever married to Ann Wilson?
I'm going to say no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think she pretty much stuck with guys in her own band.
Gross. Seriously, have we ever had that? Country and rock kind of crossover like that in doing it.
He's making hand gestures.
She's 46, man.
Yeah. And looking good.
And he's how old?
And you know what? He probably sees her. Younger. Not that he couldn't get anybody that he wanted. No doubt. But He probably sees her as a non-fluctuator. That at the very least, she doesn't want to have any more kids, which is, for him, probably great. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know if he has kids at all.
He's 39, man.
Okay, the time will come when he's ready to get a little younger at that position.
I'm sure
they're just having fun. You know
they are. They are.
Let them have their fun.
Okay.
It's going to happen
to
all of you.
Let's have some
fun. Do it because they can.
It's going to happen to you one day, dude.
What?
You're going to want to have some fun.
Let's have some fun.
After this, they'll each be able to talk about the other, and they'll be able to go, yeah, I had it.
Yeah, I had fun. I don't need any more fun. You know what fun leads to?
Fun what? Babies.
Yeah, exactly. There's a baby at the end of fun.
Hey, Corbin.
And I don't want baby. Yes, Danny.
Well, it was a drop, but as long as we're here, did you know that the DFW airport covers almost 27 square miles, which makes it larger than the island of Manhattan?
Was that a drop?
No, that wasn't a drop.
The Hey Corby was. Hey,
okay.
Corby.
What?
No. Have you seen Mark Hamill lately?
No. Where would I see Mark Hamill lately?
He looks like a soap opera actor. I can go home.
Hey, Corby.
Yes, Danny.
Do you like Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Danny, I like Thanksgiving.
Whoa!
What are these? Questions written by Trey? By Cray Trey to annoy me? Do you like
Thanksgiving?
What was the one question I had that I want that he didn't get to that I wanted him to ask you?
Have you ever been on a train?
Do you like cows? Was that one or do you like cows? That
cows.
Was the one that I really liked.
Because that one would have gotten right by me.
Do you like cows? Oh, by the way,
Corby.
For all, what?
Did you have diarrhea in the lake? In the lake?
No, Danny, that's never happened.
Whoa!
Can we get to another story for crying out loud?
Why am I surprised by every answer?
Whoa!
Whoa! Come on, we need stories.
It appears that the new James Bond film, which I say this every time a new one comes out, I'm semi-interested.
They're all the same.
I thought there was going to be a new James Bond for this.
I think this is this is Daniel Craig's last one.
Yeah, because aren't they going to have a black James Bond?
Yeah, Idris Elba is rumored to be that guy. How about Bokeem Woodbine? You know who that is, don't you? That's Mike Milligan from Fargo.
Yeah. How about
he was
it?
On Dynasty for 2 years.
Bokeem Woodbine? Was that a drop?
Yes!
It was. When Dynasty was around, he was 11, maybe.
Oh, speaking of that, it looks like we are going to have from Fargo the great, and I mean great, Brad Garrett on. How about that? Huh? You like that one? Now, you guys.
I hope we can make that happen.
You guys were not obsessed with Everybody Loves Raymond like I was. You don't recognize the game changer that that series was as far as network sitcoms go. But there's a reason it won all the awards it did. There's a reason that Brad Garrett won all the awards he did.
And I came around on Ray Romano.
Yeah, you did, but a little bit too late. But yeah, I think Brad's going to come on. Brad, of course, one of the new stars of the second season of Fargo. One of the Kansas City Mafia guys. And speaking of, so back to Bond. They say that, and I can't understand how this could be true. They say that the new James Bond movie needs to make $650 million to break even. That the movie was one of the most expensive films ever made in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That it costs like $250 or $260 million to make. And that because of marketing costs and the way that they're trying to market this thing to anybody and everybody all across this great land of ours and beyond, and because of the way that it was financed, which I don't really understand that thing needs to make $650 million to break even. Which, by the way, there's only been like 7 or 8 films ever to make that much money. And it's James Bond, and you have to ask the question, are people still interested in James Bond?
Yeah, I think they're still interested in James Bond, but not that many.
That's like Jurassic World money, you know? Or at least, mm-hmm. you know, to a certain degree. We're not going to really compare those two because Jurassic World was so great. I'm about ready to give that one another spin.
Have fun.
I'm down with it. Liked it. A great deal.
Didn't Danny walk out?
No, but it wasn't what you guys make it.
Oh, dude.
It was, too.
I don't think you understand dinosaurs the way we do.
I guess not.
No, I like dinosaurs.
Have you heard my new theory on movies?
What?
Is that a drop?
No!
I have a theory on big black guys.
Now, you've heard that.
Yeah.
You've heard the theory right. on big black guys, but you've not heard my theory on movies. My theory on movies is that we are 20 years away from no movie containing anything about relationships, children. For adults. I mean like some sort of family drama, you know, where one kid has ADD and the other one is, I don't know, sex addict or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to see these. Yes, Danny.
I like movies about swords.
Okay. Mino, can you shut him up?
I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here.
I guarantee you he's not.
I'll try
but
my best.
If a film does not involve giant explosions, car chases, dinosaurs, superheroes.
Yes, I agree with this.
The movie business is dying. Like this latest movie with Sandra Bullock that came out with her and Billy Bob Thornton about this big political spin movie.
Which looks very good.
It made like $1. It's one of the biggest failures of the year. The latest Bradley Cooper, oh, look at me, I'm a...
The restaurant movie.
Yes.
Burn.
Burn, yeah.
Burnt up.
Failure.
Burn.
Where...
That looks good, too.
Where ribs meet sensitivity. It looks good, but it doesn't make. They don't make any money. Nobody goes to these movies anymore.
What does that tell you? What does that speak to?
Idiocracy in general. That we are now a society that, I mean, look, Star Wars, movies like that. That's all that's going to be left. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because we're looking at probably the greatest movie ever made. I think we all agree on that. But, yeah, we're just coming to a time where all these movies that are being financed, it costs $20, $25 million to make, they're not going to be made. These people that are that grew up as stage actors, that grew up with true thespians, they're not going to be needed.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a bummer if that ever happens.
I guarantee you it's going to happen.
I don't doubt it.
That is going to happen.
I don't doubt it, but that'll be a bummer. Because there's a place for films like that in my world.
Yes, Danny.
I don't go to superhero movies.
I know you don't.
Now right, we have to go.
We got to go.
You see?
Yeah.
Look what you've done, Danny.
Nothing. I haven't said anything on this entire show. All drops.
Somebody blew this segment up entirely. And it wasn't him, and it's not me. It's somebody back there.
Yeah. So, and you're the producer. It falls at your feet.
So thanks,
producer man.
Okay.
Feet.
It's 4:50.
And then when they were talking about the passing of the great Alan Toussaint, the longtime legendary musician and songwriter from New Orleans, and I think I remember this at the Super Bowl when they were going to go see him when we were in New Orleans. Well, he passed this week. And Mike had the old trip up on Corby's name. You know, Corby's been called Cobra and Kobe before. Mm-hmm. This is a hybrid of the two.
He was the entertainment for the Super Bowl media party.
I'll never forget.
And I was all ready to watch him, and I wanted Corby to watch.
God.
I wanted Cobra to watch it.
Cobra, you said it wrong. Cobra.
So that's another one. That's the one I hadn't heard before. We've heard, Cobra and Kobe, but Cobra.
Well, and we didn't get a full-out Corby pterodactyl laugh. It was almost more of a Corby machine gun laugh.
Let's hear that again.
He was the entertainment for the Super Bowl media party.
I'll never forget.
And I was all ready to watch him, and I wanted Corby to watch.
God!
I wanted Corby to watch it.
Corby, you said it wrong.
Boy, they are.
Corby. They'll pull out a knife, won't they?
Yeah, they're at the ready just to pounce like a panther on fresh meat on poor Mike when he has a trip up. Danny's just right there going, Cobra! And then the instant laugh from Corby.
I got to hear that laugh one more time.
He was the entertainment for the Super Bowl media party.
I'll never forget.
And I was all ready to watch him, and I wanted Corby to watch.
God!
I wanted Cobra to watch it.
Cobra,
you wrong.
That is a wild laugh.
I'd like to play a little audio here. Now, I know our bosses sometimes frown when we mention something like podcasts, and we certainly don't want you to listen to podcasts anytime you can listen to The Ticket. So generally, I listen to my podcast after 1 a.m. If I want to listen to a podcast, but I really got taken in by Serial. I don't know. I know Serial became
satellite
kind of a
radio.
Thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, satellite radio isn't Serial.
Oh.
Not Sirius. That is a horrible joke.
Throw him out of there.
And no, he's sitting here laughing at himself.
Shame.
Now.
Shame.
I just high-fived myself.
Shame.
He did.
Shame.
Then he gave the down low like Top Gun.
Up high, yo.
Anyway, Serial is a podcast. It kind of swept the nation for a little while. For those who aren't familiar, let me play you the intro for the Serial podcast, which I think... Was this like NPR or something smart? Here's the intro.
To be honest with you, I feel like I want to shoot myself if I hear someone else say, I don't think you did it because you're a nice guy or not.
Previously on Serial.
Did anybody
anybody else use the phone?
Yeah, Adnan, I remember he was talking to a girl. He put me on the phone with her for like 3 minutes. I said hello to her.
I just remember he had told my daughter he had seen the body of a girl in the back of in the trunk of some vehicle.
I think the guy's name was maybe Adnan.
This is a Global Tellink prepaid call from
Adnan Sayed,
an inmate at the Maryland Correctional Facility.
That music puts me in a happy place. We had a good run with Serial.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial. One story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
It's nice.
Yeah. So you've listened to all that, right?
Absolutely. I celebrated. In fact, I believe season two isn't far away. And did I just read, like...
As a matter of fact, hold on.
Is there a news story? Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah. I actually got a sneak peek at the season two Serial, and it's actually somewhat sports related, and I certainly thought you'd be interested in it. And I'm glad you haven't heard this yet. You haven't, have you?
No, I'm just excited to hear what season two is going to be about.
All right. I think I got a couple of promos.
Well, as I said, these monkeys are not pets. They belong in the wild, and when they can't be in the wild, they belong in accredited sanctuaries where they can get the care that they deserve.
Previously on Serial.
Well, PETA has a problem with Dez Bryant's new pet, Monkey, calling it illegal and wants the city of DeSoto to seize him.
He got a Michael Jackson syndrome. Michael had a monkey, he want a monkey. That's all it is. Let the man have the money.
He needs a friend.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a friend.
They ain't even talking about no pet monkeys around here.
This is a Global Tellink prepaid call from...
The real bottom line is, we have no evidence that animals even in the city of DeSoto. All we have is a picture on social media.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial. One story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
What? What a ridiculous idea for the second season.
I don't know. A lot of unanswered questions.
So Sarah Koenig and WBZ are going to tackle the Dez Monkey?
They actually released two promos.
Oh, there's another one?
Do you want to hear the other one?
I do.
He's going to become incredibly dangerous, and these pet monkeys have been known to lash out and bite people.
Previously on Serial.
PETA calling for cowboy Dez Bryant to get rid of a new pet.
Monkeys belong in the wild, not in the hands of the football players who acquire exotic animals just to make a splash on Instagram.
Monkey Gate. Newey. I mean,
he's cute.
Can you
cute little guy. Greg Hardy will take it.
Okay.
I got way more to worry about than Dez Bryant and a monkey.
This is a Global Tellink prepaid call from
Jason Garrett here.
An inmate at the Maryland Correctional Facility.
I've heard stories that he has a monkey, and there's been visual evidence of that.
What's your pet monkey's name? What's your pet monkey name? Y'all right here with a pet monkey.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial. One story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
Wow. Wow.
How'd Garrett get mixed up in this?
I can't wait.
Man, this is the
like
best.
Like I said, listen after, after hours. I mean, we want you to listen to the ticket.
Is there any sort of butt dial to a girl in Philadelphia that might really break this case wide open from the monkey? Man, what was her name?
You know what's interesting, too?
The Nisha call.
The Nisha call, that's right.
Much like Adnan.
Uh-huh.
They're doing this right in the middle because they don't really know where the monkey is. This case is unresolved, and things may unfold as the podcast is being produced.
Amazing. That's really, really good. Wow, Serial Season 2 coming soon. That's awesome. All right, it's 12:20.
All right, then it's time for a little fun with Real Audio here.
Yes, it is. Now, we've had a couple of instances with some of our play-by-play guys, the local play-by-play guys. One, Steve Busby for the Rangers, who does, of course, television. And then Dave Strader, our new guy who does play-by-play for the Stars. And they got caught in the awful Peanuts penis vortex, which is tough to do. Now, Buzz, to me, is the much funnier one, but they both have their merits. This is, of course, Steve Busby.
Folks, we'd like to invite you to watch Chevy Hometown Kids every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Southwest, where it's not about the score, it's about the experience. That man's having quite an experience with the penis. No, I'm done with that one. Give me some more. The Rangers come to bat here.
What was the last part? He's done with that. Time to get some more.
Yeah.
His experience with the penis.
Or give me some more. Okay, who says... That's another thing that I never noticed about that one is... So he's saying the peanuts.
The peanuts.
Who says the... Who puts the in front of peanuts?
They're just peanuts, not the peanuts.
Was he... Maybe he was really saying penis.
No, he wasn't.
He wouldn't dare.
Who says the peanuts?
I don't know. I'd never noticed that before.
Even when you ask your buddy at a baseball game, can I have some of those peanuts? You don't
can
say,
I have some of the peanuts?
Can I have the peanuts? I don't know. It just sounds weird.
Anyway.
Well, that was wonderful. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we had Dave Strader's entry.
Charlie Brown and the gang join us here tonight in Toronto. Don't miss the Peanuts movie opening in theaters on Friday, November 6th. Dave Strader back along with Daryl Ray. You know, you look at most of the...
Again, it's so easy if you are a broadcaster or a newscaster to separate those two. All you have to do is say peanuts.
Not peanuts.
No. Peanuts.
The Peanuts movie.
Peanuts. Is that a Southern thing?
And the T gets lost.
Is it a Southern thing?
No,
we say
it's a Northern thing.
No. What I'm saying is what the peanuts.
Peanuts,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's a Southern thing.
It is.
Thing.
So yes. In the North, if I go up to New York, or Danny, you go up to see your family in Maine, they will say peanuts?
Okay, Maine.
Or, yeah. I mean, Massachusetts?
Yeah, peanuts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Peanuts.
Pecans. Peanuts.
And down here, it's pecans and peanuts.
That's right.
I like that better.
I do, too. I don't like... Pecan for real?
Pecan.
That's what they call pecan. A pecan?
Pecans.
Yeah.
Man.
Yay.
Pecans.
Stay out of Texas, man.
Church.
Well, they're not the only ones that have done this. There are a couple of examples that I found from newscasters who did the exact same thing. We'll start with a man, oddly enough, named Alan Wang, who worked for the ABC network. And was doing a news story on a Peanuts museum, the TV show Peanuts.
Well, the comic strip Peanuts is celebrating its 60th anniversary today in a very big way at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and also at the Peanuts Museum in Santa Rosa.
The Peanuts Museum?
So he gets it right. He gets it right out of the chute, barely. But then it's just the Peanuts Museum.
Well, the comic strip Peanuts is celebrating its 60th anniversary today in a very big way at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and also at the Peanuts Museum in Santa Rosa. ABC.
And on an unrelated note.
So then people are going to the internet looking for Santa Rosa Peanuts Museum.
Well, if they have one of those, it could very well be close by.
True.
And then there's...
I think that guy used to work for Fox 4.
In town?
Yeah.
Alan Wang?
Yeah, Wong.
Wong.
Yeah.
Chen Ming Wang.
All right, so here is a woman on CNN. There are so many funny parts to this. This is a woman named Zane Vergie, who is very British, and she is trying to describe an incident that took place, or I guess a... when you serve peanuts on a plane, a story revolving around that, and she gets really confused. But listen to Wolf Blitzer at the end.
What do you have?
Well, peanuts are now on Northwest Airlines snack menu, and travelers with allergies are flooding the carrier with complaints about the change. Northwest began serving peanuts this month as its merger partner, Atlanta-based Delta Airlines, has done for years. Georgia is the top peanut producing state in the country. Delta says that it will make seating and service accommodations for peanut allergic passengers. Wolf?
Thank you, Zane, for that.
I think I'd like to avoid that airline.
Thank you.
What's for dinner tonight?
Thank you, Zane, for that. All right, one more time from old Zane.
Zane, what do you have?
Well, peanuts are now on Northwest Airlines.
She got it right the first time.
Nailed it.
Peanuts.
Airline snack menu, and travelers with allergies are flooding the carrier with complaints about the change. Northwest began serving peanuts this month as its merger partner, Atlanta-based Delta Airlines, has done for years. Georgia is the top peanut producing state in the country. Delta says that it will make seating and service accommodations for peanut allergic passengers.
God.
Wolf?
Thank you, Zane, for that.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Zane, for that.
Georgia is the top penis producing state
mm-hmm.
that we have. Well, I want to go there.
We've known that.
I want to live there.
Never be able to hear that word the same way again.
No, all you have to do is just slow it down.
Penis.
Separate the two. Be very southern about it and say peanut. It's really, really simple. Don't rush your words. All right, let's get to figure out whether or not you were drunk yesterday, Mike. Many, many people claiming that you were. You may have been. You may have had some.
Very well have been.
Go in there and drink 60 shots of beer. Let's see what you got.
How many?
You may have had.
How many?
You may have had a few cocktails before the show started.
Might have.
And
it happens.
Quickly huge.
It all started with you trying to tell everybody where we were. We were up in Flower Mound at the 18-8 Fine Men's Salon.
Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll have more College Football Tuesday. Right now, though, from out here at the 18-8 Fine Men's Salons in Flower Mound.
Flower Mound.
Located at, 2299, is that it?
$24.99.
And 407.
Justin. Yeah.
Is that 407 or not?
I don't think so, but.
Okay, Justin then. And I think we're on the northwest corner or northeast corner.
Good God.
Before you get to downtown, how Chad Curtis was that whole thing?
Well, we got our signals crossed a little bit.
The whole damn thing.
I don't know what to say. All I can tell you is this. Number one, 407 is Justin. We have since determined that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, every time I go up in that part of the world, I get so turned around on all those roads that are mainly numbers instead of, you know, normally named streets. It's not even funny. And I don't know which way I was going. And number three, I thought I had the quadrant right, and I was going to at least be able to give people that.
No.
But then I looked out there at it, and I quickly realized that I had no idea where I was.
Yeah, the give up was really funny on that, too. Then you had trouble with, again, I got a tricky name, but you had a lot of trouble with it.
He was the entertainment for the Super Bowl media party.
I'll never forget.
And I was all ready to watch him, and I wanted Corby to watch him.
God.
I wanted Corby to watch him.
Corby? You said it wrong. Corby.
I've called you that before, though, haven't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, but yes. you literally Corby. Forgot my name in mid-sentence. That's what happened.
He was the entertainment for the Super Bowl media party.
I'll never forget.
And I was all ready to watch him, and I wanted Corby to watch him.
God.
I wanted Corby to watch him.
Corby? Corby wrong.
That's your fault for always calling me Cobra and then trying to mix in Corby. And
yeah, I know. Corby. I know.
Corby.
Corby.
And then, I can't offer up any rationale for that one.
Do we have time for the unfortunate joke?
Yeah, I texted Coach and told him we're running late.
Okay. All right. So
quickly.
We also did a story in E! News about the super Star Wars fan from Spring, Texas, who had terminal cancer. That J.J. Abrams found out about this. There was a big rally to allow this guy to watch the new Star Wars, even though it comes out in a month. They knew that he wasn't going to make it. He was terminally ill. He was a huge fan, so they let him watch the movie. So we're doing this story because the guy just died. He got to watch the movie last week, and he just died yesterday. And then Mike.
The new installment before he died, I think it was last week that he actually watched it, and he just passed away yesterday.
Star Wars.
That's all you have to add?
I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, he got the copy of the movie and said, hey, I'm not really sick.
Yeah, well, he died, so he was sick, actually, Mike.
A wife lost her devoted husband, Mike.
Right.
It's really not a time for, I don't know.
Bad jokes?
Yeah, it's not amateur hour at the improv.
Yeah.
He's still laughing.
Laughing at himself.
The worst part is him at the beginning, out of nowhere, going, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Before he died, I think it was last week that he actually watched it, and he just passed away yesterday.
Star Wars.
What is that?
That's all you have to add?
I don't know.
I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, he got the copy of the movie and said, hey, I'm not really sick.
Yeah, well, he died, so he was.
That's my favorite. Well, you know, he died.
Star Wars.
Coach is going to be so mad at you for that.
Oh, God. You were drunk. You were full-on drunk yesterday. Need more drunk.
Wouldn't be the first time. All right, the coach.
Normally, on a Monday morning, we visit with Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones, but if you saw Jerry Jr. on the walkie-talkie yesterday, that's when he was radioing to his relative, his nephew, and Jerry's grandson, Spalding, ordering Spalding to do the interview with us this morning. So joining us now on the ticket hotline is the eventual heir apparent to the Jones family fortune, Spalding Jones. Hi, Spalding.
Hi, Musers.
How are you doing?
Man, I've been better, man. First of all, ain't no way y'all getting my grandpappy on the phone this morning. No, sir. He was eating Johnny Walker-infused Dippin' Dots and renting a freestyle jet ski last time I done saw him, and that was around 2 hours past when the moon wakes up. Yes, sir. Oh, Grandpappy Jerry ain't going to be awake until around the time that Community Quick Hits drops tonight. You know what I mean? A little ticket humor for you there.
Yeah, thanks for the ticket tie-in. Well, I know it's been a rough time for everybody, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh, June, it has. So I figured I'd step up and get used to my role as a future Cowboys executive and practice explaining away a spectacularly disappointing stretch of football man play, and also, you know, get used to my role as being tremendously disappointed with the rest of my backwoods-ass moneyed family. As you have that hack filling in for Gordon this morning, he mentioned my grandmammy now looks like the leader of a famous 1970s religious cult. And I can no longer trust the juice he puts in my Razorback sippy cup. And as you mentioned, my Uncle Jerry Jr. is showing his ass on national TV talking into one of my old playtime walkie-talkies during a game. What the hell?
Is that what that was?
I guess, man. I mean, yeah, he's calling me saying I got to talk to y'all this morning, but actually, he was actually talking to old Luke Bryan's manager. You know, he's scheduled to play that halftime show on Thanksgiving, right? Well, he was telling old Luke's manager, don't even bother showing up that day, man, because we're going to have hologram Johnny Cash perform in renditions of Hurt for 15 minutes as 80,000 people look on sobbing into their $15 Miller Lite.
That's why we have Luke Bryan coming up.
An intricate plan.
It is a hologram Johnny Cash playing Hurt. But no, seriously, this was supposed to be the year of the fall of the Spall, and things have just gone horribly. 2 months ago, when we were Super Bowl 50 favorites, I was participating in menages with Justin Bieber and Demi Lovato, and now I can't even get Throatzilla to return my call.
Stay away from Throatzilla. So this has been pretty tough on you, too, huh?
Very, very tough. Very tough. The fall, it's been the downfall of this fall instead of the fall of this fall. Man, I saw my people so upset with this streak, he's lashing out and blaming anyone and everyone except for himself. You know, before Romo's injury. I was assistant attaché to quality control coach Wesley Phillips, next in line to be owner and GM of the Cowboys, and I had a guest spot on season two of Empire lined up. And now, no Empire, and they got me working for Dez's monkey.
Wait a minute, you work for Dez's, you work for the monkey?
Yeah, I work for the monkey. Like, I'm not taking care of the monkey, Jodeo. I literally work for Dez Bryant's monkey. He's got me cleaning his jewelry, his bling. He's got me lining up bottle service for him and changing out his primate poopy diapers. It's unreal. It's unreal. I mean, I was King Spalding last time I spoke to you, buttheads, and now I'm changing monkey diapers. I once had Six Flags closed for a full day just so that me, Ryan Mallett, and Rick Perry's son could ride the Judge Roy Scream 500 times. And now I'm babysitting a diva receiver monkey. It's just bullcrap, man. The monkey's yelling. He needs more Hennessy. I got to go, you guys. The despondent Spalding is out, musers.
Okay, see you, Spalding. Hang in there.
I almost feel sorry for him. And I didn't know that Dallas Bryant was a Hennessy drinker.
No, I didn't either. Tough times at Valley Ranch. And as you will hear, we had plenty of wheels off moments on the old ticket this week. Let's start with the hardline and one Corby Davidson. Now, there's no doubt that when we go to some sort of audio segment, Corby probably leads the nation in computer problems. It doesn't help, though, when Mino plays a drop to make it sound like he's either having more computer problems or, in this case, he gives a little diversionary drop as to what Corby may be watching on his computer. It's a new funny bit for Mino. And it makes the emergency break of the week.
The evil, crusty lady owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Behringer stands up, and I got this on Unblue here. Let's see if you can hear it.
So. Whatever happened to purple and not purple? Those were better times.
Those were better times.
I don't know. Anyway, it's the Behringer scene. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Stuff worked when we had purple.
Yeah. Will you close that window?
God bless it. Jerk. I'm in here watching porn.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny because your eyes got real big. Like, uh-oh, what did I forget to close out? Uh-oh. Oh, man.
See if this
I'm
plays.
I'm sitting over here like, man, what's going on over
yeah,
here?
Hey.
That is a funny bit. Genius
great
bit.
Tag.
Don't you? You know Jer's going to jump right in on that, so you guys
I would
be squared
never
away.
Do such a thing.
Here, pull up my computer real quick, Jer.
So you wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready for it. See, I'm not going to do that to you guys. I respect you.
I'm sure we'll hear by next week.
Two grunting guys will be the next one.
All right, so there's Corby up for an e-break for not being ready. And then, to hear that from Mino, that's really funny.
Schedule. You see this team and what they've been able to roll out, and you expect to get a win.
I want to tell you,
you would have to.
Donovan and I are in the process, I really mean this, a process of forming a relationship, working every day. But who takes this segment? Or you've got this opinion, or I've got that opinion. Every day, I'll come in and say, Donovan Michael said, maybe we want to go this direction. Yeah, that's a good direction. What I appreciate about Donovan is he's given me at times three or four moments to still go off. And I wish to go off on this football team.
All right, go off, Norm.
If you enjoy being laughed at, Jerry, then revel in it. Climb right into the spotlight and revel in it. Your team is now the most ridiculous team in the National Football League. The pregame shows, the postgame shows, all over network TV, all the commentators, they're laughing at you. They're watching you unravel in public. It's like a circus. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen, and watch the Dallas Cowboys unravel right before your eyes. Look at them in the locker room. Fighting and screaming. Look at them on social media. Look how they look like they don't give a damn on the field. Look at a coach that you have castrated. Does Jason Garrett have any control of personnel? Absolutely not. If he had control of personnel, some of the people that started the year on this team wouldn't be here. Does he have any control of discipline? Oh, please. Please. That's funnier than a Seinfeld routine. Does he have control of a lineup? I suggest he doesn't even have control of a lineup. Who announced McFadden was going to be the starting running back? Who announced Castle was going to replace Whedon? And let me ask you something. If the coaching staff had its way, would Rolando McClain have been back here? And if he were back here, would he have been benched by now for some of his play in the last few weeks? Does any other coach in the league have a situation where he's been so neutered? He does not control discipline. He has no final word. Hardy's late for meetings, virtually skips a meeting. Any discipline? I don't know. Coach Jones, what do you think? You run the team. You run the lineup. You run the roster. You run the discipline. Hey, should Garrett be yelled at? Yeah, he should. Yeah. But on the other hand, does he have charge of the locker room? If he goes in the locker room and puts his foot down, do 14 people giggle? Or do they sit there tweeting during his talk? Let me tell you something. If you beg to look ridiculous, Jerry, you got it. You got it. When Dez Bryant went off on Rich Dalrymple, he should have been yanked into your office and said, "This happens again, and I'm fining you a game check." When Hardy misses meetings, he should have been yanked into your office and say, "Listen, young man, somewhere along the line, you got to stop this. You have been benched this week. You do not play against Tampa. I don't give a damn who we play. I don't care if we have to run out Ryan Russell or Jack Crawford or some yahoo that I fish out of the stands 10 minutes to game time. At some point, doesn't your soul hurt, Jerry? Doesn't it hurt to keep giving guys like Josh Brent and Joseph Randall and Greg Hardy and ad nauseum chances to play again, and they laugh at you, they take your money, and they shoot you a freaking finger every week? Where the hell is your soul, Jerry? Where the hell is it? Do you not care that everybody laughs like crazy at your football team? It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to lose when you've also sacrificed your damn soul. This locker room has no one in charge of it because the man who's supposedly in charge of it has no right to discipline. Get your butt down in locker room, Jerry, and you discipline. You go locker to locker and tell Cole Beasley, shove that phone as far up as it goes, baby. You're off Twitter. And Des, you do that again, and we are going to have a serious monetary talk, pal. And I don't care if I have to discipline you or Hardy or name it. Pick anybody else who steps out of line. I can lose without you guys. I can lose without you. And damn, yesterday we did lose without Greg Hardy. Somebody wore his shirt, and that's all yesterday. Come on. Come on. We've gone through losing seasons before, but this is an embarrassment. The whole league looks at you and they're laughing at you. This isn't a 7-game losing streak. This is a surrender of your freaking soul. Thank you, Donovan. Thank you.
What a pleasure that was to watch in person.
Just,
and when he mentioned the finger, I want everyone to know he shot it.
It's Gus.
It's Gus. It's Gus.
That's the hitman.
It's Gus. Woohoo!
Return of the hitman.
Man.
Hey, I mentioned three players, but there's more. I don't mean to single. That's unfair to single out just two or three, but some of them are stars. And doggone it, Jerry's in charge of this whole circus. Jerry's in charge.
Jake joins us with some audio.
Indeed, some audio. This is a bit that we have nearly run into the ground, and I say that probably because it features just trashing me on Why Today Doesn't Suck, but it's the bragging montage. We have We have some cocky folk here who work at the station, and I actually don't consider myself among that lot. I would guess that no one that I'm friends with actually thinks that of me. I'm actually I have pretty low self-esteem, and I'm pretty sure that I've lucked my way into every situation in life and didn't deserve any of it. But somehow I'm here, and I can play this audio for you. The other two people in question, I bet you their friends do say that's the cockiest guy I know. And I'm not afraid to say it. So we have a mashup that I think is the GOAT that features the two perception-wise cockiest people here at the ticket. But we never get a request for this guy and his bragging montages. And like I said, he's accomplished a lot, so he has a right to puff out his chest. But he will make fun of your follower count on Twitter. He will call you egg if you don't have a proper avatar. It's Bob Sturm. Jared, let's take it away with the Bob bragging montage.
I am going to England to watch soccer. I bet you I put tons of miles on my bike as a kid. Maybe the most on this show.
I bought World Series tickets off StubHub.
I definitely came to Dallas without a cell phone.
I came up with the idea for Twitter. I can hit jump shots pretty well for a player of my talent level.
I consider myself a bit of a sushi expert. I get verified, and I'm the bad guy. Dude, I grew up in a Garfield house. I grew up in a town where most people were the same color. I had a day off from work last week, and I made a trip to Walmart to get some clothes. I had a Friday morning fire going.
Dude, I have a personal blog. And I have a videotape in my house of every game I played my senior year.
I have friends. We go to movies. I have incredibly large feet. I have not worn underwear in about a month now.
I've read a lot of football books.
I have seen someone thrown out of a car. I just digitized the 2002 Hard Knocks.
I just had the greatest lunch ever.
I know all about the World War II. I married a Mexican. I might need a Corvette at some point. I once sat next to an NBA scout at a college game.
I own a guitar.
I saw Danny Cannell lose a game in the ACC. I used to be like elite level cereal guy.
Okay.
Wow.
You don't really hear that often. The P1's never requested. That's pretty
that
strong.
That is amazing. Yes.
My favorite was I once saw someone thrown out of a car.
Boy, Bob has seen a lot in his life, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he saw Danny Cannell lose a game in the ACC. Yeah.
Seen a lot and done a lot.
And he came from a Garfield house.
Yeah, dude.
Digitized I grew up in 2002 it. Hard Knocks.
Yeah, God. So those are pretty good. Yeah. But the ones you always get questions for are, of course, Corby and myself. And again, I don't really feel like this fits my true personality, but there's undeniably something about my delivery that lends itself to portraying me as one of the two biggest douchebags here on the ticket, along with Corby Davidson. So I present to you, a P1 actually suggested this during Why Today Doesn't Suck a few weeks ago, and I went ahead and created the ultimate battle of the douchebag one-upper guys, Corby and Jake.
I got caught stealing posters in Colorado.
I'm just for killing animals in front of people.
When I was 6 years old, my parents put me on a plane by myself for the first time.
I tried skiing one day.
I play golf.
And I used to stay up all night on Napster.
I took a cooking class in college, too.
I knew about Stairway before I knew about Led Zeppelin.
I'm flying out to Nashville for a wedding.
I saw a ferret rip a girl's earring out once.
I got a book today. I've listened to more Rush combined than you have.
My dad had to wear a suit every day.
I've been to Universal Studios.
I spent the day in Austin yesterday. All day out on Lake Austin.
I haven't worn cotton underwear in probably 10 years.
You know, I almost walked to work today.
I had a Pepsi with breakfast one morning in California.
My neighbor is the commissioner of the Big 12.
Now I want to stand up for my love for large ass.
I went to a wedding one time.
I own my V-necks.
I got a tennis lesson right after work.
I was born in the mid-cities.
I didn't know what an abortion was when I was 10.
Right? I watched a Press Your Luck documentary on the Game Show Network.
My friends from high school are still some of my absolute best friends. Love them to death.
I had a taint rubbed on my face.
I was a subscriber to the Sooner Illustrated magazine back then.
I have a subscription to Porta Potties Monthly.
I got a rock.
I can tell the difference between African people and African American people.
I know Richard Branson.
I don't know how to tie various knots.
I just downloaded that new operating system for my Mac.
I had an NFL set of pogs.
Typically, all I sleep in are my boxers. That's it.
I don't care about the environment at all.
I don't eat a lot of French fries.
Probably the second best skater on the show, right?
I'm the same age as Christian Laettner.
I've been back to NRH2O or like water parks by myself.
I grew up with the DA.
Because I see several homeless people on my way here, like on 35 or whatever. I couldn't tell you what one of their faces looked like.
I'm never out of shape.
I've had many a college football experience where before the game, everyone is like, we've got to drink all of this liquor right now.
I played golf with Kid Craddock at Castle Hills Golf Course.
And I pay like, whatever, $15 a month for a credit monitoring thing, whatever.
I hit a driver further from the right side than I can the left.
I haven't been to a guy's night out in forever.
We had friends that had a nanny.
I've seen my grandfather fire a gun at an armadillo.
I've had a relationship with Shaq for, I don't know, ever.
I used to clean the bathrooms at a grocery store.
Because, you know, I was in a fraternity over there at school at TCU.
I've never been on a dirt bike.
By the way, I left a brand new Big Bertha driver on top of my car.
I only have two pair of jeans in rotation at a time. I wear them either every day or every other day, and then I buy another pair every 6 months or so.
I've not had a glass of milk since I was probably 8.
How is that bragging? How is you saying that you've never been on a dirt bike?
Break. He doesn't need dairy. Yeah. That's how little he needs dairy.
I've never been on a dirt bike. And a glass of milk since I was 6.
How's it bragging for Corby to say, I have a rock?
Have you really seen a ferret rip an earring out of some girl's ear?
Yes. You remember when they used to have pet stores at the mall? And they would have, it was almost like a puppy mill type place. They would just have cases on the wall, like of little cages for puppies and for ferrets. And I saw a girl lean down into a cage of ferrets, and a girl probably 8 years old ripped it out of her ear.
Wow.
It was intense.
I love those montages because half of them are real brags, and then the other half are, I once went to a wedding. That's not a brag.
But what about, I don't know, I've known Shaq forever.
Yeah, that's a brag.
Forever. Oh, man. Thanks, Jake. That was awesome. All right.
Talk politics now, as joining us on the ticket hotline, an old friend of the show, he is still the front runner, according to the polls, for the Republican nomination for president. It's Donald Trump. How are you?
Good morning to you guys. How are you doing? I'm doing tremendous.
Yeah, I guess you are. You're still leading in the polls, and you got to feel good about that.
I'm having an absolutely tremendous morning. I'm leading in all the polls. All the polls, you can't find one poll in which I'm not leading, and if you do find one of those polls, it's incorrect, it's not luxurious, and it isn't tremendous.
Well, fair enough. How are you finding the campaigning? Is it starting to wear you out at all?
Not wearing me out at all. I have tremendous energy. I never sleep. I don't have to sleep. I've done away with sleep in my life because I've reached that level. Okay, the very top level of being a human, that's where I'm at. And I like campaigning. I like shaking people's hand and having them tell me how great I am. I meet tons of women on the campaign trail. It's wonderful.
Well, I don't know if you need to be chasing women if you're trying to become president.
Who is this one? Is this one Jody?
Yeah. Some people call me that, Jody. Yes. Yeah, I'm George.
Yes, I was warned about you. Clearly, you're jealous of me. You're jealous because of the amount of vagina that I have in my life.
Oh, gosh.
Look, I've got more vagina than all women combined, okay?
Hey. Mr. Trump, this is a family program.
You probably haven't felt anything more than the drunken grip of your own hand in 10 years, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
I know your type, Jody. You probably spend your Friday nights hunched over an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog, tugging and crying. Oh, we know this. This is established.
No, I don't think you know that.
Bobby Jindal dropped out. Why aren't you covering that? See, you and the liberal, lamestream press don't cover these things.
Yes, he did drop out, so that's another one that you've eliminated.
I could have told him from the very beginning that nobody wanted a Cajun Indian in the White House.
Well, I don't know if that's why he dropped out.
And Ben Carson is an absolute loser. Nothing tremendous or luxurious about him. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's already screwed up his campaign by making stupid statements. I mean, how dumb do you have to be to screw up a presidential campaign, okay? Come on, this is not brain surgery, Ben.
A lot of people think you're going to screw it up at some point, that you're going to say something that's so far out there that...
Okay, Jody, here you go again. This is what you do. This is what you do.
What do I do?
You interrupt me before I start talking. Okay?
Sorry.
Okay, these two Mexicans I'm up against now, they don't stand a chance either.
Jeez.
God.
Ted Cruz looks like an aggressive Baptist deacon. Marco Rubio looks like the overly cologne sales guy that you can't get on the phone after your order goes wrong. Okay?
Okay.
And the only candidate for president that slept with more women than I have is probably Hillary Clinton.
Okay, now that is all unfounded.
Right. You heard me just then. You heard me with your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay? I have exclusive, intricate, platinum-level orgasms.
Well, we don't okay, care. I don't know that that's a campaign point.
Jody, my orgasms arrive in 26 distinct and separate phases.
Well, I don't care. And that sounds like an outrageous claim.
Okay. I've been known to stay in orgasm for two and a half months at a time.
2.5 months?
Yes. And I have 10 billion pieces of money. Can you comprehend that? 10 billion pieces of distinct and separate pieces of money.
No, we can't comprehend that.
How many do you have, Jody? 3? 4?
Yeah, we'll go with 4. There. Yeah, we'll go with 4.
Did I hit it? Did I get in the range?
You nailed it, as always.
Okay, I tell you what, Jody, why don't you go back to your mud shack and add up your net worth by counting the aluminum cans you've collected over the past month. Out.
Oh, wow. There it is. Wait. Drop the phone and it's gone.
He does not like you.
No, he doesn't. That is Donald Trump exclusively here on The Ticket. And then there's Norm. And Gordo noticed a few weeks back that since Donnie has joined his show, that he's done just a little more... Hey, man. A little more man talk. Yeah. Just trying to be a little more hip.
Yeah, you got
to
get better, man.
But this is not that so much. It's Norm. I just let you hear it, and you be the judge of how uncomfortable this is.
That cat probably is a leader. He probably has a voice. And the voice is just ruining his freaking locker room.
Donovan. It's 20 years ago since I worked with my friend Leon Simon for just a little while at KLIF.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon had a lot of what you have. He had a kind of wonderful street cred and in basically street knowledge. And Leon used to Leon used to say, I never thought of the flipped point on leader that you're making here. But Leon used to say, if you're 12-year-old, tries to get away with something.
Okay, and then Norm went into some Leon Simon witticism.
It feels so bad that Donovan had to put up with that.
And so why does Donovan obviously have street knowledge?
Tremendous, or what was it?
Tremendous street cred.
And street knowledge, isn't that what he said?
Yeah, and street knowledge.
And apparently Donovan did give him a double take at Star Power the other day when he said that to him. I just want to hear
it. Well, he should have.
Let's hear that one more time.
That cat probably is a leader. He probably has a voice. And the voice is just ruining his freaking locker room.
Donovan, it's 20 years ago since I worked with my friend Leon Simon for just a little while at KLIF.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon had a lot of what you have. He had a kind of wonderful street cred and in basically street knowledge. Leon used to say, No.
Wonderful street cred. I wonder if Donovan there. Puts that on his resume.
I have wonderful,
wonderful street cred.
And basic
works
street
well with
knowledge.
Others. Basically street knowledge.
If Norm was working with a white partner, there's a 0% chance that he would say that partner had wonderful street knowledge.
He wouldn't say that to Saroy.
Right.
Just because Donovan's black, he thinks that, you have street cred.
You have a lot of what
street cred.
He's black.
And it makes you think that Norm's basically been around two black people in the last 20 years. Yes. Leon and Donnie.
Leon and Donnie.
Yeah. That's it.
Right.
Those only reference points.
God, that's funny.
Come to think of it, he has a lot of you in him.
You are both very similar. You have wonderful street cred.
All right, way to go, Norm. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, when I was in college, when I fancied myself as kind of a burgeoning songster myself.
I remember those days.
You
were like that when you were here in your early days.
Yeah. I had some ladies, and we had some breakups, and I thought...
You heard all about them.
I thought the best way to get over these breakups was with song.
So yeah. You would write songs?
Yeah, I would.
You'd write all of them?
Songs about your breakup. So you have one for the oil baroness?
I do have one for the oil baroness. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The stalker? She make her way in there?
I have one for the stalker as well. Yes.
What about the fat one with the real thick bra?
I never wrote one for the fat one.
What about Do You Know Where You Are?
I never wrote one for Do You Know Where You Are either.
Well, you should. I think we've got a title.
Yeah, we do. It'd be pretty easy to do that. Matter of fact, maybe ticket stock.
Well, I mean, who else is there?
Oh, and what about the stinky one?
Yeah, I wrote one about the stinky one as well.
Oh, really?
I did.
And you wrote this. This was years ago.
22 years ago, I wrote it. You guys can take your pick on which one
you
want to hear.
22 years ago, you, my friend, should be a millionaire.
Okay.
Because you've got a lawsuit on your hands. Because I've heard this song, and it sounds very similar to a certain artist.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying.
You want to hear this song, the Stinky Girl song?
Yeah, let's play
it. I mean, there's only one way to find out what it sounds similar to, and that's if you do it for us.
Let me help you out. On guitar.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, let's get out of these clothes and lay down on the bed. Anything goes. You know this is our first time. Everything is special. Roses and a bottle of wine. She's so tall, handsome as hell. She's so bad, but she does it so well. As she strips down, I notice a smell, and I begin to panic. I don't know who you are, lying in my waterbed with your legs outspread. Red lips and rosy cheeks, smelling like a raccoon. Oh my God, it's bad poon. Your cooter stinks.
God.
And your cooter stinks. Now, I don't know what to say. Naked girl is there, she needs to go away. Sewer. Let's go back.
One, two, three, four.
The sewer smell, it won't subside. I tell her, get the hell out. Now she wants to know why. She stands up, staring me down. She's so mad, with an evil ass frown. I open the door and let out a shout. You smell like a speckled trout. I said, kindly, will you leave? My nose is in a vice grip, feeling like a sinking ship. Your red lips and rosy cheeks, they can mask the dumpster smell coming from your girl hell. And your cooter stinks. And your cooter stinks. And I don't know who you are, lying in my waterbed with your legs outspread. Red lips and rosy cheeks, smelling like a raccoon. Oh my God, it's bad poon. And your cooter stinks. And your cooter stinks.
All right.
Thank you.
That was the stinky one, huh?
It's a passionate one.
Maybe keep that off the top 10. Any other?
Well, we have
replay?
Hockey.
Oh, good.
We have hockey. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
That's very heartfelt.
Yeah, tonight we dodged the top 10.
Look. The bottom line is,
I'm glad you were able to get over this.
Yes.
Through song.
Via song.
That's what song is for.
Yes.
There you go.
What's the name of that song?
The Stinky Girl.
All right, community quick hits coming up here.
And we want to welcome into the studio two very old and dear friends to this program, our colleague Norm and his 7-foot stuffed panda that rides in his back seat with him, Andy. It's Norm and Andy Panda.
I don't know.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
God, Norm.
Hey, Gay.
It's such a weird new laugh that Norm has.
You think that's new?
Sounds like you got a rodent stuck in your throat.
Good to see you guys still together.
Of course, we've been really busy this summer.
Lads, yeah, we've been touring around.
We have our vaudeville act that we've been touring around. We've been campaigning for Ben Carson because we think that's pretty funny. Norm loves Ben Carson.
Oh,
does he?
He's an intelligent man. I think he's got some really good ideas for this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he has wonderful street cred.
Just a wonderful
with
street
a lot
cred.
Of people. And so does half of Andy.
Okay, now, Norm.
What does that mean, Norm?
Well, gosh,
there he is again.
This new Norm laugh is somewhat unsettling.
Hey, Jake.
And all too accurate.
Hey, lads.
Hey, Norm.
Yeah,
Andy. How do you turn a fox into an elephant?
I don't know, Andy. How do you turn a fox into an elephant?
You marry it.
Hello, bananas. Hello, bananas today. Andy, what do you give a blonde that has everything?
Oh, penicillin. Hello, bananas. Hello, bananas today. Hey, Norm. What do you call a blonde with two brain cells?
Pregnant.
Yes.
Hand over bananas. Hand over bananas.
God.
Andy.
Yes, Norm.
What's the difference between a tire and 365 used rubbers?
Well, one's a good year and the other's a great year.
Now that's funny.
Hey, Norm, what do you call a Mexican with a vasectomy?
A dry Martinez.
God. We need to take you to the hospital.
Great, pal. Andy, what is it when a man talks dirty to a woman?
Well, that's sexual harassment, Norm.
What is it when a woman talks dirty to a man?
$3.99 a minute? At least that's what your phone bill says, Norm.
Hey, Andy.
Yes, Norm. Hey, Norm, what's the difference between a woman having her period and a terrorist?
You can negotiate with a terrorist.
Yes.
Hello, bananas.
Happy Friday, everybody. Now Norm's going to beat me with a household object. Last night he cracked a pool table over my back.
You guys are actually touring with this show. Norm, are you okay, Norm?
I just get the laughing.
Why has your laugh changed over the years?
It's so funny.
Well, why have you
clear?
Right, there they go, Norm and Andy Panda, their vaudeville routine. Get a stretcher for Norm.
Bananas.
There they go. Wow. It's 8:44 here.
That's
on
the why
ticket.
We haven't done Man. That in a long time. That is the reason why. All right.
Well, we wanted to welcome to the studio a former Chicagoan, longtime resident of Chicago, and was there with George. In fact, coached George in high school swimming.
Hi, George.
No, she didn't.
It's Marge.
Oh. Hey, George, it's Marge Shimdetler.
Yes,
remember me?
Only from our show. I've never seen you before a couple of years ago.
Remember I coached you on your swim team up in your hometown of Chicago that you deny?
Nope, don't remember.
Why
it,
do you deny us,
see
George?
You seem like a nice woman, but I don't remember you coaching me.
Do you remember that big bottleneck next to where our swim squad would meet?
Our swim squad? No, I don't.
No.
I do, and it was horrific. Of course, that's back when I was just on crutches, and it was really hard to get through there on crutches.
Yeah.
Have you ever owned a car?
I came by to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, George.
Oh, that's nice.
And
happy
to tell you how proud I am of you and all of your accomplishments.
Well, that's very nice. I don't know how much I've accomplished, but
you're
thank
without
you.
A doubt my greatest success story.
Wow.
Thanks.
I've been trying to listen to your program every day.
Oh, thanks.
But my radio quit working in the 80s.
That's a long time ago.
Is your radio show the Ron Chapman?
No, it's not the Ron Chapman, no.
Tell me what it is again. I want to write it down on this vomit-stained receipt I found blowing down a sidewalk.
Well, get her a notepad
just
or
tell
something.
Yeah, here, I'll just write it down.
I
we're
have
the
this
morning musers on the
to
ticket.
Write with.
What?
I have this nub of a pencil to write with.
Just remember, we're the morning
musers. Unfortunately, neither hand is really in operating order. So I have to scrawl it with my one good foot.
Jeez.
Could you tuck the pencil between the toes of the foot that's least discolored, George?
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
Well, could you write down your program name?
I've told you, it's the Morning Musers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is
on
that
the ticket.
Spelled the same as Ron Chapman?
Sure.
Not even close.
So, yes.
So the number of your dial is Ron Chapman.
No, it's 1310 AM and 96.7 FM.
George, I have good news.
She's not listening. Yes, what's that?
I've been contacting our old swim team, and we're getting the squad back together.
Wow, that's great for you, George.
Oh, great.
They all said yes.
Really?
Well, the ones I talked to did. About half of them are dead.
Well, I don't know about that. We're not that old.
We're getting older, George.
Yes, that's
but
true.
But anyway, we're going to get back together and train real hard to montage music and then win the Olympics.
Win the Olympics.
But we need our anchor.
I was never the anchor of
you
the swim team.
No, a beautiful dolphin.
No one ever called me
our
that.
Our sexy shark. We need you, George, please. You're the most natural swimmer I've ever seen.
What a compliment.
Non-George, you wouldn't believe what this boy was.
You can call me Craig.
It was unbelievable. This young man was built for swimming.
Mm-hmm.
The manner in which your large webbed hands dug into the water with authority.
I don't have webbed hands.
The ability of your dirigible-sized lungs to process every molecule of oxygen with unparalleled efficiency.
What?
The arousing way in which your large genitalia acted as a keel.
Arousing? Okay, look, this is just...
You're a champ!
This is weird.
Remember
weird.
The time
no.
I got a few tumblers of wine in me at our end-of-season party
uh-oh.
And made a pass at you?
No, I don't remember
inappropriate.
That. That's really inappropriate. I would have been
I just
13.
Wanted to apologize for that. And tell you I now understand your reaction.
Well, I don't remember it, so don't worry about it.
I certainly had a lot of time to think about it during those 7 months my jaw was wired shut.
Oh, gosh.
You don't remember, George. You may have blocked it out.
I've never done something like that.
Don't
and no one
worry.
Ever...
Your violence was interpreted as love, as it should be.
That's just not right.
Do you mind if I come spend some time with you on Thanksgiving?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I would mind that because I just don't. I don't know you. I think that's weird.
That's okay. I already have Thanksgiving plans.
Oh, okay. Well, good. What are you doing?
Well, like most Americans, I have family coming over to my place for food.
Nice.
Oh, good.
That's great.
The only real problem I run into there is that I don't have a place.
Oh.
Or a family.
Oh.
Two problems.
Or food.
Three problems.
I just wanted to say I appreciate your prayers, but a sandwich would be nice.
A sandwich?
George.
Rather than the prayers
I get you a sandwich,
mentioned.
But
help her out.
I don't think that means you have to come over.
That's
for
okay, George. I bet you're wondering why the back brace.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Funny story.
Funny.
A pack of pit bulls tore through my back in the Trinity River bottoms while I was scoping out a place to die. They didn't mean anything bad by it.
Yeah.
You know, there are no bad dogs, just bad owners.
Right.
I had to get myself to a hospital. Unfortunately, the only one I knew of was across the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge.
Stay the bridge. Off that bridge.
My chair was down to 10%, George.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite get up to highway speeds. And guess what happened?
What?
A City of Irving truck hit me going 60 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's terrible.
I found a pro bono lawyer, and we sued them, and yeah. We almost won the case.
Oh.
But at the last minute, they said they had to reallocate my $15 million to another lawsuit they're facing.
That must be Clock Boy. That's horrible. Yeah.
So I'm SOL there. Meanwhile, the terrorist in the NASA shirt's going to get my money.
Okay.
I have to go, okay. George.
All right. Well, we'll see you later. Oh, she's backing up.
Bye, Marge.
There she goes. There goes Marge, the alleged swim coach. 847. And then to our engineering staff, and they say the engineer on record here is Killer.
I play.
So we'll put Killer on the record here for this e-break at Guy's Night Out.
And the and
the Hardline had Antoine Roussel on from the Stars. They were talking about the horrible incident in Paris last weekend, and this happened.
The places that they go might be one of those places that was hit.
Well, it goes so fast. Like at the time I get the news, I didn't know what
we lose him
exactly. Excuse me. At the time I didn't know what exactly.
We just got knocked off the air, guys. Killer, we're off the air.
You're not off the air, man.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Hello.
Hey, Antoine.
Hello.
Hey, they for some reason they're on a remote and they can't hear it. Can you guys hear us?
I can't hear you guys.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to take a break and we'll try to come right back. Stand by. Thanks, buddy.
No worries.
What year is this?
The ticket. Ladies and gentlemen.
Again, Mino not helping by playing What Year Is This Drops.
Gosh. Terrible.
Guy, English not even his first language.
Right.
He's so confused by all this. What do you mean remote? I don't...
All right, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and it is a tradition in this country that the president pardons one turkey, and that turkey is allowed to roam freely for the rest of his life. And that turkey joins us now on the Ticket Hotline as, I guess, we say congratulations to Tom Turkey, pardoned today by President Obama. How are you?
God bless America. How about them Cowboys, huh? Oh, man, this is a great day. This is a great day. It's quite a transition going from planning your death row executioner speech to planning your victory speech. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess you're...
I mean, I was all ready to, you know, hey, sorry to the family, you know, all that stuff. but now it's, hey, look, America, this is awesome. Tom Turkey's about to hit big. I got a new album that's going to drop here pretty soon, too.
A new album?
Yeah.
What kind of music you play or sing?
I do hip-hop.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do hip-hop. And, you know, look... I'm a beneficiary of this this pardon, no doubt about it. But look, America, this is what you get with libs. I mean, Obama, I mean, look at this. You know, I'm on death row. Mm-hmm. I killed two people in a botched convenience store robbery. All right. And, you know, that's what I was convicted of. And then, look, Obama lets me out. This is great. You know, I love liberals.
So this is surprising. I thought he just pardoned a random turkey, but you were actually on death row.
Yeah, I was on death row.
That's
I want to say,
disturbing.
Yeah, you know, I was involved in a lot of bad stuff for a long time.
Oh.
Left a string of bodies and broken hearts across the Northwest and beyond, you know. But, you know, I did my time. 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
6 years, mm-hmm. Yeah. And first thing I'm going to do when they release me later today,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking my prison release money, mm-hmm. taking my sawbuck, and I'm finding a hookah.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, let's...
Hey, I ain't had vent in 6 years, okay?
Vent.
You know what I'm saying, George? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I do.
You're tagging everything that moves these days.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You know it. Yeah, you're a boy dog. I know that. You avoid dog 2 and 2. Crazy man.
Well, I would think that, you would have a favorable opinion of the president now that he has done this for you.
Yeah, I'd vote for him again, but thank God I can't. You know,
right?
He's not running again, and I'm a felon. So,
yeah.
Not to mention you're a turkey. Yeah.
And the turkey. Turkeys don't have rights. But I'm a bit worried because freedom affects different people different ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some people out there, you know, aren't cut out for freedom. I mean, a lot of them Middle Easterners aren't cut out for it. What's going on with that, huh?
Yeah.
Them people are out of control.
Yeah, we don't have to go there. But
all of them dead in Paris?
Yeah, we saw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, on a more personal note, my friend Fred was pardoned last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. He didn't last a month.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, Fred tied a rope around his neck in a flop house in St. Louis on Christmas Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the woman who cut him down said that he was emaciated and had a homemade sign tacked to his chest that said, "No funeral and Merry Christmas."
Oh my God. It's so depressed.
Yeah. Like Brooksy.
Yeah. So it was sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm hoping that I avoid his fate, you know? That's why I... You try to stay busy, Craig. You try to stay busy, and that takes your mind off the incredible weight of freedom.
Well, how do you stay busy?
Well, because I don't want to hang myself in a St. Louis flophouse, George.
No, I said, how do you? What do you do to stay busy?
Well, I got the album, of course. I got to promote that.
Yeah.
Pre-sale on iTunes right now.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to tour in support of that.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm at Blue October at Blue Planet. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's open.
The House of Blues?
No. It's the Blue. It's Blue Planet.
Where the fix played. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and I'll be doing that. And then this is kind of a funny story. I'm actually going to meet with about 29 of the governors of the states.
Hmm.
29 states governors. Because it was the weirdest thing. I took a homemade clock to the prison library, got in trouble for it, and then all of a sudden people supported me.
Now you're a hero, huh?
So now I'm this hero, right? For a stupid clock.
Imagine that.
Yeah, but I'm going to be there in Dallas. I'd love to come by and sit in for a little bit, talk a little Cowboys. Like
yeah, maybe.
Football.
Yeah, okay, I don't know if we'll have time.
Give us
maybe.
A call when you get to
I'm
town.
I'm going to stay with my best friend lives in Dallas, lives down in Pleasant Grove, and so I'm going to come visit him.
Who's that?
Jive Turkey.
Thanks for dusting off a 70s term. This is Tom Turkey.
Thank you, Greg.
Tom Turkey.
I do appreciate that.
We're having a good time.
Listen, word to your listeners here. Mm-hmm. Don't participate in the mass genocide of turkeys this Thanksgiving. You know, say no. Eat beef instead. Let the cows take it in the short. All right.
Okay.
What do they do that's any good? They fought. That's all they do.
Yeah, true.
At least we have a beautiful gobble.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
All right, guys. You take care and take care of yourselves. And go Trump.
Okay.
Go Trump. Okay. All right, we'll see you. That's Tom Turkey. Just pardoned by the president. It's 8:47 on the...
Us now on the Ticket Hotline to talk about that Thanksgiving Day debacle, the blowout loss to the Panthers. As the Cowboys owner and GM, Jerry Jones. Happy Thanksgiving, Jerry.
What the hell was that? So defeating. It wasn't a good Thanksgiving for me at all. I don't know if y'all were sitting around there cheering as the Cowboys came a-tumbling down. I bet you were, weren't you, Jerry?
No, we weren't cheering your failure, no.
Well, it's a good thing we were waiting around all them weeks for Tony to come back and save us, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunate.
Kind of feels like drowning and someone throws you a life raft. That's as limp as my privates have been lately.
Oh, we don't need to hear personal details like that.
Well, you know, I will say this about them. The Panthers sure are a good team. They're a good team. They're not a smart team, but they're a good team.
They are. They're good.
I didn't think it was too smart of the Panthers to knock old Tony out of the game. He'd pretty much been their MVP, hadn't he?
Good point.
Threw them two pick sixes. Y'all see that? Yeah. That was out on the television.
Yes, it was on the television.
And then I don't know if they showed that Tony hurt his shoulder on the picture tube either.
Yeah, they show every play when they televise a game.
Good. I tell you, I'm starting to think old Tony's clavichord and shoulders are made out of balsa wood.
Well, he just had, I guess, literally some tough breaks this year.
Why are they always constantly breaking, Ja?
Well, I don't know. It's been that kind of year.
Well, we need to throw some titanium in there, some of that bulletproof vest caviar, whatever that's made out of.
Did he say tritanium?
Yeah. Why don't you get your team doctor, Snapper John, on that?
Well, because he's too busy tending to Jerry Jr.'s diarrhea.
Oh, gosh. That shouldn't take that long to fix.
Hey, did you see old Candace Romo on that Thanksgiving promo?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stop talking about your quarterback's wife.
She was sitting there looking all hot and surrounded by all them baby people that Tony made her have.
You've got bigger fish to fry than
what about
players'
your roster?
Wives.
She's the biggest fish around, I tell you what, and I want to land her.
Oh,
come on,
gosh,
Jerry.
Don't say that.
She was looking yummier than giblets and gravy.
Oh, stop. It's creepy.
She kind of makes me want to climb into a time machine and go back to when it was actually an issue that Gene had cut me off. As you know, George, I haven't had a working ute assaulter in 17 years.
Well, I don't know if I knew that or not.
Man, back in the day, bathroom rendezvous with nookie girls ended in shouts of, I love Colorado.
God. Not something to publicize. No.
Not the sort of frantic tugging chased by tears and apologies it's been in the last couple of years.
You need to focus on football.
Well, speaking of football, I'm hoping maybe old Johnny Football's going to drink his way onto our roster soon.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if that's going to fix anything.
Well, I keep checking the deadspin.internet and the Cleveland waiver wire every day, waiting to see if he's been partying and released.
He's getting close.
Yeah, he may be released at some point.
Well, old Machine Gun Couch didn't have quite as good a day as I'd hoped, did he?
No, not much of a day at all.
Horrible. Just horrible. He was as big a no-show as the old Machine Gun girl was in court.
Yeah, I don't think she's ever been called that before, sir.
Hey, did anybody see the halftime show? Did they show that on the picture tube?
Yes, unfortunately.
Man, was that bad or what?
That's pretty bad.
The worst.
It was so bad I vomited into one of them Salvation Army red kettles and darn near filled the thing up.
Gross.
It was all full of chewed up turkey and Johnny Walker Blue, just a bubbling in there like a cauldron. Smelled like a rave in that bucket.
But can't you control who does the halftime show?
No, believe me, I got these two women around me and they run the whole show.
Oh, no.
Between Gene and Charlotte, we don't get a word in edgewise. Did you know I had to spank all three of my kids on Thanksgiving?
No.
I had to spank Stephen for not letting me take Johnny Manziel. I had to spank Charlotte for hiring Luke Bryan. And I had to spank Jerry Jr. for dropping his walkie-talkie in the potty.
Oh, no.
And I had to spank Jean because that's the way she likes it.
Hey.
So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hopefully we'll lose on out and get a good draft pick.
Okay.
You're going to tank games, I guess. All right, there he is. Fake Jerry at 8.
This is a Musers Christmas tradition. We are into the month of December. Today is December 1st, 3 weeks from Christmas. And so we like to, this time of year, place a call to the North Pole and talk to Santa Claus. He always takes our call. It's a busy time of the year for him, but we like to check in and see how things are going just to make sure the kids are going to get their gifts.
North Pole.
Yes, Santa Claus, please.
telemarketer, I've told you guys I have enough Viagra to maintain a 2,000-year erection, okay?
No, no, no. This is the Musers on the Ticket in Dallas.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Musers. Thought you were a salesperson. I bought some Oxy and Hydro last year from a Canadian pharmacy and somehow got on their call list. I don't know.
Jeez. Well, Merry Christmas to you.
Hi, Santa.
Merry Christmas to you, Jub Jub.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're having a pretty good year.
So far, so good, I guess, yeah.
Hope you're having a little bit better year than we've had up here.
Oh, gosh. No, don't say there's bad news, Santa.
Well, we've had some sort of elf virus tear through the workshop, and and I've lost half my workforce.
What? Lost them?
Yeah. Well, I tell the kids that they're all on sick leave, but between you and me, let's just say the pauper's grave behind the workshop's getting pretty damn full.
Hey, come on.
Oh, it's okay, George. We have a system.
Oh, good. What's the system?
As soon as another one drops dead on the assembly line, we take them out back, harvest any organs and resellable fillings, and throw them in the hole and dump a bucket of lighter fluid on them, then I pull out the old Zippo, and it's showtime.
Showtime?
Yeah.
We light them up.
You're talking about elves.
That sounds like that's against the law, too.
They make the toys.
That's abuse of a corpse, it sounds like.
There's not going to be too many toys this year, George.
What do you mean? There's toys every year. There's got to be for all the kids around the world.
Unlike other years, it's not just going to be the poor kids who are SOL this time. I'm not even going to get around to my favorite white middle-class households. I've had a bit of a setback.
Hmm. What happened?
Well, it's a weird story. I've been trying to keep a lid on it, but I recently had to go on the North Pole Today show and admit that I was HIV positive.
You've done this before, and it wasn't true. Say it's not true. Stop it.
I don't know, man. I think I got it in Haiti or something.
No, you didn't. You're fine.
I've even had to pay prostitutes over $10 million to keep quiet over the past few years.
So you're the North Pole's Charlie Sheen.
What's that now?
Never mind.
Stop saying things like this, Santa.
Hey, I don't know if you guys want to update your Rolodex, but Mrs. Claus has gone back to her maiden name of Bouvier.
Stupid.
Make note of that. Divorce was finalized last month.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry.
Well, I think congratulations probably best here. And I don't want to get into the whole details of it, but let's just say Mrs. Claus went black and never came back.
All right. You've used that joke before, and I'm tired of it. Stop it. You're not divorcing Mrs. Claus.
I can't watch Greg Hardy play.
Hey, stop.
Hey, Musers, can you help me get the word out about something? I know you guys have a radio show or something there in Dallas.
Yeah, sure, mm-hmm. Santa, anything for you.
Help me get the word out that I had to put Rudolph down.
Oh, that's
all right.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it's
our condolences.
Deal. He got the hoof mouth and the mad cow disease and went effing nuts, man. I mean, he was deranged. He's foaming at the mouth, showing up at our bedside in the middle of the night,
wow.
Inexplicably holding a lawnmower blade. Just weird.
Whoa, that is creepy.
Stop.
Posting weird crap online, like radical Muslim stuff.
What in the world?
Stalking women. He started threatening Mrs. Claus back when we were married. And when I put my foot down and said, hey, look, I know you two were involved, but that doesn't give you any right to threaten to cut her head off with a bandsaw.
Jeez. Stop it.
It's like he understood, but he was back at it the next day.
Yeah.
So I had to take him out in the woods under the pretense that I'd found a lot of gold out there and wanted to share it with him.
Wow, that works on reindeer?
Yeah, he started to get suspicious because we kept walking and kept walking, and he confronted me about it, and I just went to town on him with a shovel. I mean,
wow.
Red snow.
Stop! Stop it!
I think I blacked out while I was swinging, too. There was just so much rage. So much rage.
This isn't Santa. It can't be Santa. These stories are terrible.
I mean, next thing I know, George, I'm standing there sweating, looking down at an unidentifiable carcass. So.
That's hilarious.
I did what any man would do.
What?
burned off his hoofprints and knocked out all his teeth and got the hell out of there.
Well, now you're kind of admitting the crime, though, on our show.
But we look forward to having a Merry Christmas. In fact, I've got a lot of Christmas letters here from the DFW area.
Yeah, I wish we would have got to those 2 minutes ago.
I'll share some with you if you want, even though it violates HIPAA laws.
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
This one's from the from downtown Dallas. It says, "Please send me a competent sports anchor signed the Fox 4 management team."
Oh.
That doesn't bode well for Mike Ducey.
No, it doesn't.
That's all about. But get this one here. It says, "Santa, all I want for Christmas is a new quarterback and immediate family. Signed, Jerry in Valley Ranch."
Wow, that's interesting.
Last name, but
took time to write, huh?
Get this one here from Victory Park. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Dear Santa, for Christmas, I would like a new gorilla cane and my own show back. Signed, Mary's Horny Lover." Any help there you can give me?
We'll tell you later who that may be.
All right. Well, I better get back to work. And I'd just like to say, remember, kids, put a Jimmy hat on it. Don't end up like Santa.
Hey, stop.
Merry Christmas.
All right, kids, that was not Santa. That was some imposter. We're very sorry about that. Very sorry. And we start with the producer of the Norm and Donnie show. That would be one Mike Saroy. Now, you think that Saroy has a very active nightlife, don't you, Junior?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it that. I would call it a problem.
Yes, I think there are a lot of mornings when he comes in here and he is he's still suffering from the night mm-hmm. before. And I think that may be the case here because he made a weird, weird noise on the air.
Last week, bounce back week for the long pole. 2-1.
That's the spirit.
2-1. Now we are 18-15 overall for the season. Mike, what's Thursday?
Thanksgiving, Donovan.
Yes, it is. What do you usually serve on Thanksgiving, Mike?
Turkeys.
Yeah.
That was
what?
So weird.
Was that?
And Garrett was the only one who called it out.
It was underwater Saroy.
It sounded, sounded something like this when you isolate it.
He hasn't got it isolated yet.
Oh my gosh, dear.
Charlie? All right, let's listen to the whole thing again. How about that?
Last week, bounce back week for the long pole. 2-1.
That's the spirit.
2-1. Now we are 18-15 overall for the season. Mike, what's Thursday?
Thanksgiving, Donovan.
Yes, it is. What do you usually serve on Thanksgiving, Mike?
Turkeys.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Did he ever explain that?
No, they just glossed right over it. I think he's maybe eating on the air.
Eating on the air.
Is that his Chewbacca imitation, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of sounds
Chewbacca
like that.
Chewbacca or Mike Saroy Lion. All right, one more time just for grins.
Last week, bounce back week for the long pole. 2-1.
That's the spirit.
2-1. Now we are 18-15 overall for the season. Mike, what's Thursday?
Thanksgiving, Donovan.
Yes, it is. What do you usually serve on Thanksgiving, Mike?
Turkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or it may have just been, a really long night for Saroy the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get on the air the next day. And it's time to bring in our first guest. Please welcome Pro Football Hall of Famer, a legend, Dallas Cowboy receiver, the man himself, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
The Ticket is a brand.
No.
The Ticket is a brand.
What's going on, man? What's going on in here today?
Something's screwed up in here again.
What's going on, Jerry?
Michael might have to wait.
Okay.
He couldn't get in the parking garage.
The door's jammed.
That's what it is.
All right. So you got wrong numbers in there, Jer? Is that what we're saying?
I got right numbers. It's got the wrong audio, I think. Stand by.
Okay. Is Dwayne Caraway here?
I don't know, but keep in mind who put this together.
Yeah,
unbelievable, man. We were
ready to roll.
They were so ready to roll, and this did not happen.
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Okay, Audible. Let's bring Jonathan Tyler on. We'll talk to Jonathan right now. Your mic's working, right? Okay,
let's do it.
Because Michael's still shut outside the door.
I'm not Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin. All right, we'll continue our visit with Jonathan Tyler. You're going to do a song later. We'll let you do a song. But as we mentioned, it's been a busy year for you. You've been touring darn near all over the country. You've been to the Midwest,
everywhere,
East,
really.
Around Texas. And we're lucky this week you were going to be out, but you had a cancellation. The guy you're going out with canceled, so you're able to be here with us this week. How has Holy Smokes been doing?
That's been pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it came out in August. We did this one independent, and, you know, we've had some nice other musicians. People have kind of, like, helped us get it out. There's been no, like, major corporate backing or anything. So
you got out of your record deal. You had a record deal for a while.
And then I started the label. I was on Atlantic.
Yeah.
So I got off that, and I started one.
Yes. No, Fat Joe left Atlantic.
He left Atlantic, and so did Jonathan Tyler, as it turns out.
To be a trend.
The rapper?
Yeah. Oh, man. He left Atlantic, too.
This was years ago. Don't worry about it.
Years before you left Atlantic, Fat Joe did.
You remember that bit, don't you, when we had to call our mothers and let them know that Fat Joe had left Atlantic, like it was a really important thing?
That was one of my favorite bits of all time.
And my mom just played along. Oh, well, I hate to hear that. Well, I hope he lands on another label soon. It's like, you have no idea who he is.
That was awesome. And you recorded it at Echo Lab.
Yeah, we did. We worked with Matt out in Denton.
The great Matt Pence. Do we classify that as Denton or Argyle? It's like right on the line.
It's Argyle.
Argyle. Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. We're going to put that as a plug in for Argyle. Still going in the high school playoffs, by the way. So you did it there, and it was a little bit different for you in that I'm assuming when you did Jonathan Tyler in the Northern Lights, it was y'all as a band in the studio. You had a lot of say on it, but I'm sure the record label did too. What was it like doing a record with Matt?
Well, we got to kind of mess around all the time. We spent lots more time on it, and I felt like there were no adults in the room, you know, like no suits around telling us what to do. We could kind of just mess around.
And you made some really cool sounds, too. I think there's some really... And maybe you've done that before, though, some of those sounds that you had on that record.
Sort of, but it's like, you know, when you get, like, the big corporate boss that's kind of hanging over your head, telling you what works and what doesn't, it's not as much fun as when you just get to hang out with your friends and do it. But we were still really serious about it, but we also took, like, 3 months to do it, 4 months. So,
and it turned out great.
And you no doubt have the probably best drum sound you've ever had.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Pence is amazing on drums. Daniel Cream is amazing on keyboards and piano. They both played on the tracks that I did at the Echo Lab last week, and they covered me up nicely. That's what I always hope for with studio musicians, just put them way up in the mix.
So you worked at Echo Lab. Did you? Is Hoagie still
Hoagie
going
and Rufus,
strong?
Yeah. All right, Hoagie awesome. And Rufus, absolutely.
Sneaking into the control room.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of control room, we understand that Michael Irvin has been able to make it down now. Is he in? We got him? All right, we'll send him on in. Ladies and gentlemen, the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, is with us.
No.
All right, yeah, have a seat.
Man. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet.
What's up, people? Man, on the ticket, man.
Yeah.
You guys have always been sticking it to me, man. Back when I played and I got into trouble, and I did get in trouble. There's no doubt
that's
about
true.
That. I
will not shy away from trouble. That.
You guys used to kill me, man, with your 840 bitch, man.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
That one about the fire sale at Valley Ranch. Everything must go. Deion Sanders for a third round pick. We'll throw in an undersprice for free. You guys were crazy, man. Crazy with that stuff, man. It was, but it was funny. It was funny. And I laughed. Just when I laugh when you do those school closings, man.
Yeah, you like that?
Those school closings, man.
Yeah.
You know, people come up to me and say, hey, Michael. Will you please close down my school district?
Oh, no.
Hey Playmaker, could you close down my city's library?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to come on here today and say, Allen ISD,
closed.
No, we're not going to do that today. No. We're not going to give me to do it, today. Man. No.
I'm not going to come in here and check it. The Hollywood Sports Station in America. And right. Check. Alito YSD. Bus is running late. Classes start 10 a.m. No.
No, we're not going to do that.
No. No school closings, man.
No, we're not going to talk school closings with you, but we will talk some football. This year's Cowboys team, 7 straight losses. Now Tony Romo's gone for the season. What's up?
You have to understand the value of a quarterback.
Yeah.
This team has Romo. Last year they go to playoffs, they go 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
They have Romo on the field this year, and they go 3-1.
Right.
Without him, they go 0-7.
Mm-hmm.
Romo win, no Romo lose. Right. It's like back in the day. And when they had me as the playmaker, we had Deuce Deuce.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith. We had the Great Wall of Dallas.
Yeah.
We had a defense that some called Doomsday 3.
Right.
But you know what made it all go?
What's
Do you
that?
Know the straw that stirred the drink?
Hmm.
We had Troy.
Oh, yeah. Aikman.
We had A-Ball.
Yeah, right.
Troy was the man.
Right.
And if we did not have Troy, we would not have Super Bowl rings. End of story. Period. Troy,
right.
Win?
Right.
Yes. No Troy. No win. No.
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 Hey, playmaker, with the NFCs being so bad this season, do the Cowboys have a realistic chance of making the playoffs?
Oh, no. You bring up the playoff thing.
Are there going to be playoffs?
Yeah.
That's what you're asking me.
Yes, I just did. 2 seconds
ago. You got to stop that crazy talk, man. People got to stop their crazy talk. Cowboys in the playoffs? No.
No?
No.
No.
You ask me, Michael, what about the playoffs? Still out there, man. This division's bad? No. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying on this mic right now? No. 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 No playoffs for the Cowboys. NFL playoffs? Closed.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Hey, man. Hey, man, listen. Man, it is so cool that you have Jonathan Tyler and Matt Pinch up here today, man.
You know Jonathan Tyler?
Bring in the noise, man.
Yeah, they're bringing
it. Let me tell you something. That album, Holy Smokes, is one of my favorites, man.
There's no way.
Produced by Matt Pinch at the Echo Lab.
What?
Pinch played drums, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Man,
yeah.
That guy's cool, man. Tell you what, man. You play a couple bars of that Hallelujah, and I'll sing along and we'll tear this mother up.
Whoa, Michael.
You play, I will follow.
Okay.
Kind of like you too. You didn't think I'd remember that first hit off the Irish supergroup's first album. Boy, did you. But I know that, Danny. Danny over there ragging on you too. And my boy, Adam Clayton.
That's his boy.
Man, I hear you on that hard line taking runs at bro country. Danny calls it no country.
That's right. That's right.
I actually stole that line from the Prophets and Outlaws. I do believe they played Jub Jam last year.
Yes, they did.
Sorry, I digress. Okay, let's go with some Hallelujah, Jonathan Tyler. Hit it, man.
Are you going to play some? Okay, he's going to play with Jonathan Tyler. Turn off the line. There we go. Okay.
All right, man. We'll split the verses, man. Split the verses. We will share the courses. All right, you start us off.
All right, man.
All right, here we go.
All right, Michael.
All right.
Another blue cowboy with a taste for action. Working for the man, never gets satisfaction. So I picked a big guitar, learned to play. A little Muddy Waters and some Stevie Ray.
I packed my bags, I hit the road. Started living like a modern Jerry Jones. I want to scream, I want to shout. Climb that mountain. Scream it out! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
I've been saved.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah! Hallelujah, baby! I've been saved!
Sounded pretty good, Michael.
Thanks, man. Hey, I appreciate you letting me sing with you, man. right. Second verse.
I forgot the second verse.
Something about New Orleans, man. We're hanging in New Orleans. Remember that? We really need. Come on. Come on. Forgot the words to his own
drum. I seriously forgot how it goes. You know it, Michael?
Let's see. Something about a New Orleans. And Willie D, we were drinking, smoking, and carrying on. Willie D, doing his song. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah.
I've been changed.
Yeah, all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Great job, Michael.
Man, that was live, man. That was live, man. Man.
Man, that was really good, Michael.
Really good, Mike.
I was really impressed. I didn't know you could sing
that
like
was
that.
Hot, man.
Yeah.
That Jonathan Tyler, he can go.
Yeah, he can go. Oh, he can go. No doubt. Yeah.
Man. You play that will melt the ice on a bridge when we have a storm this winter, man.
What?
And we would not close down schools.
Oh, there he goes. School closing.
Because
again,
the playmaker bring the heat when he play music, man. That's rock and roll.
Yeah, sure enough.
That's a beautiful thing, man. That is a beautiful thing, Jonathan Tyler.
Yeah.
Listen, man.
Thank you, man.
You are a rock star, man. Jonathan Tyler, star. You do what you do. You do what you do,
thanks,
man.
Oh,
Jonathan Tyler, you do you. And as a young rock star, if I was you, I would do half the women in North Dallas. No, man. No, that's cool, man. That was really cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was cool.
It really
you
was.
And Jonathan Tyler.
Remind me, if I was mixed around with white women in North Dallas, I'd be back in my White House days.
No. All right. Well, that was wild. You singing with Jonathan Tyler. What's it like working with those guys on the NFL Network, LaDainian Tomlinson and Deion?
It's cool, man. But those are my boys, man.
Yeah.
LT, Rich. Rich Eisen, man. I've always been surrounded by Riches. Dalrymple and now Eisen. You know?
Right.
But, and Deion. Prime time.
Yeah, prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Not prime prep. That is closed. And I mean closed big time. Damn,
right,
I did
right,
it again.
Right,
got to make no school closing tank again. No, man. But remember, the thing to remember about prime is that Deion.
Yeah.
He's smart, man.
Deion
is smart.
Who would have thought?
He's smart. He knows, man.
He knows.
He knows his football, man. It makes it fun. It makes it fun for
it does
all
make
of
it
us
fun.
Who are on the NFL Network doing our thing, man. On Sunday nights, you need to check us out, man.
All right, we do check you out.
You need to watch us, man.
Okay. Well, Jonathan will watch, too.
Yo, but I appreciate you having me up here, man. I got to go. I got to go do a piece on the Carolina defense. I got to catch a flight to Charlotte, man, so I got to get up out of here.
Okay.
I appreciate you having me on, man.
Okay, there he is. Michael Irvin, ladies and gentlemen, the playmaker.
Jub-Jub.
Danny.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
See you boys later, man.
Okay, we'll see you. There he goes, the playmaker.
All right,
we have that was pretty awesome, right? How many times you get to talk to
most
Michael Irvin?
Insane 30 minutes of my entire life. Wow.
All right. And we also had a good laugh when Becca, our traffic chick, sweet, sweet Becca, had a tough time with this traffic sponsor.
Traffic is brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods. Santa's Safe gift card giveaway is coming to your Dick's Sporting Goods. The first 200 adults in line at 6 p.m. Thursday and 5 a.m. Friday get a chance at a $500 Dick's gift card every season.
Having fun.
Starts at Dick's.
Heads up. We're having fun. Why is it so hard for...
$500 Dick's gift card.
For Dick's to come out of your mouth.
Dick's. Oh, there's so many Dick's in this copy. All right. I'm Becca with the ticket. Stick it up yourself, pipe traffic.
Yeah. I like that conclusion by Becca at the end.
There are so many...
in this commercial.
What was your observation, Gordo?
What do you mean? I just said, why is it so hard for Dick's to come out of her mouth?
Yeah,
just to say that.
Yeah,
word.
It's like it got stuck in her throat or something.
All right.
Just that implies
dance
that.
Dance around it a little better.
What?
That they're always in her mouth.
Well, the words, when she's trying to form them, yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't think that because she says a lot of other words.
Dicks don't roll off of Becca's tongue the way that she was.
All right. One more time.
Traffic is brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods. Santa's Safe gift card giveaway is coming to your Dick's Sporting Goods. The first 200 adults in line at 6 p.m. Thursday and 5 a.m. Friday get a chance at a $500 Dick's gift card every season.
Having fun.
Starts at Dick's.
We're having fun. Why is it so hard for...
$500 Dick's gift card.
For Dick's to come out of your mouth.
No, there's so many Dick's in this copy. All right. I'm Becca with the ticket. Stick it up your tailpipe traffic.
All right. That's fun.
That's a funny line by Becca.
I feel offended and otherwise by all these Santa Christian carols. Who is Carol anyways? Did she used to be John? Then let's commend her courage and might. So we'll have a PC Christmas, but we can't call it Christmas, so we'll just call it second half of December and leave it at that. But what about that first half? And what about those other months? What are you, a month, this a-hole? These microaggressions are so brutish and dated. You're in my safe space and trampling on my right to celebrate my secular godlessness. I'm persecuted. This must have been what Jesus felt like. So don't wish me a Merry Christmas or comment on my fitness or gender, race, or sexuality or any of my traits. We've had enough of your hate speech. This feels like threats to my safety. That coffee cup better not be red. If so, you'd be better off dead. All right, let's bring in some politically correct cheer with some help from our friends. First up, you may know him. It's Hall of Fame coach Bill Parcells.
No disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays, okay?
No, not okay, coach. Not even close. Certainly, Bob Sturm can help us ring in some PC cheer.
Ha, this is Todd Hall.
Bob? No.
The Rooney Rule is a sham.
No.
Don't let them fool you. They're Africans.
Last chance for you, Bob.
It's okay to say fairy.
No, it isn't okay to say fairy. Or black or white or male or female, gay or straight, there are hateful details. I dream of a day where we all have gray skin. Our privates have been forcefully removed so that we have no gender, no religion. Our holidays are all emotionally neutral and we're asexual. And even the term we demeans those of us who are not part of the group that I could possibly be referring to. So don't wish me a Merry Christmas or comment on my fitness or gender, race, or sexuality or any of my traits. We've had enough of that hate speech that feels like threats to my safety. Persecuted just like Christ. Just like Christ. One more time, PC bros. We'll have a PC Christmas, but we can't call it Christmas, so we'll just call it second half of December and leave it at that. But what about that first half? And what about those other months? That coffee cup better not be
All right, yesterday was a lot of fun. Hope the P1s enjoyed White Elephant Day here on the ticket, where we mixed and matched all the lineups throughout the day. And we did a little recap about an hour ago, and I mentioned one of my favorite segments of the day was the segment that Corby and Sean did on poetry. And Sean read some of his old poems from college, and it made him hate himself even more. And we mentioned that Norm had a book of poetry, and we played his great poem to Nancy. And I told you guys, I confided in you, that I had a very dark period in my life where for about, I don't know, 6 months or a year, I thought the thing to do, the romantic thing to do, was write poems. And so
maybe it is.
The girl that I was dating at the time, I was crazy about her, and I wrote her some poetry. And I was praying that those had disappeared from the face of the earth because it's the most humiliating chapter of my life. But are you telling me that this morning you have actually uncovered some of those?
Craig, shortly after you announced that you had written poetry, George and I hired a private investigator.
Who was really effective.
And he tracked down your mid-20s girlfriend, the girlfriend you had in your mid-20s, Jane, I believe is her name, correct?
That is correct.
See?
Okay, we're on the right track.
And he actually got some poems from her that you had written her. She said that she was just about to throw them out this week.
About
this
to put
week.
Them into
this
a shredder. Yeah.
My timing was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was walking towards the shredder when she got the phone call. So she faxed over some copies
faxed
of poems to our private investigator.
Yeah.
And so we have them, and we've hired a voice actress to
this
come in
so
studio.
This is so elaborate.
Yeah, we spent a lot of money on this.
To come in studio and read these. Now, before we get into them, was your poetry like overwrought like Sean's was with a bunch of poetic images and things like that?
You know, I don't really have a clear memory, but yes, it probably was.
Okay, we'll be the judge of it. Jared, do you have any kind of poetry music that we can play? There, that's perfect. All right, joining us in studio, our voice actress. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Becca.
Oh, yeah, okay. Wow, she's a traffic
girl
as well.
Yeah, Becca.
All right, Becca, let's hear Craig's first poem to Jane.
To Jane, as I sift through the morning flowers of yesterday's tomorrow, I think of thee. You are beauty that springs forth from a summer wind in the dewy embrace of the dawn's rosy morn.
What does this mean?
You also have a great fart box.
Oh my gosh!
Booty that just won't quit. You are the sun and I the moon. A torture, tumultuous, celestial body only glowing in reflection of you.
Oh, my God.
Jane, you complete me, just like the same way that the last piece of a jigsaw puzzle will often complete the puzzle from which the last puzzle piece came from. You are the Iceman on the basketball team of my heart.
That is the worst line I've ever heard.
I remember that.
Jane, oh, Jane, where are thee now? Are thee thinking of me in contemplative repose of the clouds swirl overhead? Or are thee having the filthy constant diarrhea like you did that last time we went to Denver for the A-Hey concert?
Uh-huh.
I pledge thee my eternal love, dear Jane. Nothing will ever tear me apart from you, not rain nor hurricane or you breaking up with me and involving law enforcement.
Okay.
When I look into the future of tomorrow's yesterday and lay my heart sliced open in the hazy mist of clouds of spring's first sunshine of heavenly starry mist, I want to try backdoor stuff all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'm uncomfortable with these being
made public.
Yeah,
this is a little personal here.
I must leave now, Jane. I must return from hence I came.
Whence
I came. Too long for the impossible self-giving, eternal love of a lover's moonlight heart. I love you, Jane, and your killer rack. One day, I hope we have bath towels.
Wait, no,
marked.
I think this is your second poem. Okay. Here, you're getting there. That was the first one.
Yeah.
You're just saying
that. It was entitled,
really
Killer Rack.
You didn't really like it, I can tell. You're making fun of me.
Like Sean, you had some good lines in there.
The whole thing about the booty, I don't know about that, but the rest of it I thought was really,
really
sweet. Yeah.
Booty that just won't quit.
That just won't quit.
Now that I hear it again, after all these years, I'm even more embarrassed.
Now, you didn't always write that sort of free verse. You also did some that rhymed, I believe. Let's listen to this next one here.
One day I hope we have bath towels marked as his and hers, and we will have children who root for the Spurs.
Why are you always...
When we make love, it is something I like. The only thing I enjoy riding more is my bike.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to do something, sweet Jane, and I'm tired of begging. Have you ever heard of a thing called pegging?
Oh, what in the world?
Roses are red.
Wait, that's the same.
We got another one.
Yeah, we... I don't think that was really even known about.
I don't recall writing one that mentioned both the Spurs and pegging, but I guess I did.
It says you did.
And then we have here, I believe this was the final poem. According to Jane, this was the final poem you wrote her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I like guys. So I'm breaking up with you.
Oh, that was the last
one. I was afraid that she kept that one.
Very simple, to the point.
Now I'm really embarrassed now.
There you go, Craig's college-aged poetry.
Oh, wait, I need to reach for the dump button. Is it too late to dump all of those?
Too late now.
You can't do it.
All right, thanks, Gordo, for digging those up. Pretty awesome. Yes, the tables turn here in the emergency break of the week, because usually on that Saturday morning show known as the T-Box, it's Craig Rosengarten who will mess something up, and Rick Arnett has to correct him. But we have role reversal this week. Listen to this word that Rick made up.
You know, they always said he was three strokes better than anybody he played against until he went up against Y.E. Yang. That was his first crack in his armor, really, in a major. So to be a nicer, kindler tiger might have been a detriment.
A nicer what?
Kindler.
Kindler?
Did I say kindler?
That's not a word. I know that
one. And I will agree with
that.
You 100%. Kindler. Kindler.
I win.
Yes,
finally.
That I agree. I don't think it would have been.
I think an underrated moment was Rick sidestepping the the phrase. He changed the phrase. It's not usually crack in the armor. There's another phrase.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he got right up to it and just gently stepped to the side and kept walking.
Yep.
Good job, Rick.
No way that's a word.
That's not a word.
I
win.
I win. Yeah.
It was weird when he said, "What did you say?" And Rick responded, "Kindler." As though he meant to say that.
He wanted to stick by it, and then immediately said, "What did I say?" And one more time.
You know, they always said he was three strokes better than anybody he played against until he went up against Y.E. Yang. That was his first crack in his armor, really, in a major. So to be a nicer, kindler tiger might have been a detriment.
A nicer what?
Kindler.
Kindler?
Did I say kindler?
That's not a word. I know that one.
And
I'm
I will agree with
that.
You 100%. Kindler. Kindler.
Kindler. I win.
Yes,
finally.
You can hear the joy in Craig's voice that he busted Rick finally instead of the other way around.
All right, so there's Rick Arnett.
I win.
Up for an e-break.
I win.
All right, joining us now in studio, you want to open the door and let in our sports psychologist that we consult frequently. It's Dr. Carlton Maxwell, who teaches psychology at the University of Texas at Dallas and the author of over 3,700 books. Good morning, Dr. Maxwell.
Good morning, Craig. Good morning,
George?
George. That's right. George. I don't know how I forget that.
I don't know.
So weird. I'm missing that head enough in my morning coffee.
Here we go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is good.
Quite a wake up. Quite a wake up.
Lots of cream in that one there.
Yeah, you're used to that. We wanted to get you on to...
Screw in the show, as they say in radio.
No, we're not doing that. We wanted to get you on to talk about with the Cowboys-Redskins rivalry tonight, about facing your arch rival or facing one's enemy.
Yes, it's a very good topic. You know, facing one's enemy is very difficult.
Yeah, I said it's, enemy.
If not
actually.
Impossible. Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're
enemy,
saying.
Enemy.
Okay, enemy. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, enemy, same thing. Even enemies are hard to face. For example, I remember I used to know this guy, and he was my enemy. And every time I would turn my back, he would just start pounding me. To my friends, to anyone who would listen, you know, with insults and, I mean, just reaming me and really giving it to me. And I could never manage to muster up the courage to...
To what?
To muster up the courage.
I have really had no idea this time.
Muster up the courage.
Muster up the courage.
Yes. To face him, despite the fact that he darn near tore me a new one when my... It's not. It was very painful for me. I don't know why he's laughing.
I apologize.
Okay, thank you very much.
It sounds horrible.
Anyway, but when someone is an enemy, it's such a wonderful thing when you finally confront them, and the Cowboys are really going to enjoy this football contest.
Okay.
I mean, did you guys see, like, for example, one of my personal... NFL
personal
enemies. Yes, that's what I said. Why?
That's okay.
I said it kind of weird.
Is Tom Brady. I do not like Tom Brady.
Hmm.
There was a huge catharsis when I saw that big bully, Thomas Brady, lose his football contest against the Eagles.
Yes.
No one was more, because when I think back, you know, no one was more interested in Tom Brady's hard, overly inflated balls than me. I mean, I really became obsessed with the subject of Brady's balls. In fact, Tom Brady's balls, there was probably a 6-month period of time there where Tom Brady's balls were always on the tip of my tongue.
Well, I guess that's like the rest
I
of America.
Without you,
I don't know why he's laughing.
Me.
But yeah, that was a huge controversy.
It was huge. Whenever a sports conversation broke out, it was right there because I thought he was guilty. And I was glad when his hard balls became such a hairy situation for him. Why can't I talk
about
that?
I don't know what's wrong with him. You're trying to talk sports, and he's laughing.
We are visiting with Tobias. I'm sorry, Dr. Carlton Maxwell here on the
Carlton, sir.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And so then you see Brady beaten. You know, the Patriots were undefeated, I believe. Patriots?
Yes. They weren't undefeeted.
Not yesterday.
Yeah, they were a couple weeks ago.
The week earlier.
You're right. You're right.
Okay.
But, you know, to see him handed his ass by someone like the Eagles, what do you do when you're a Cowboys fan? What are you doing this game?
I don't know.
What if you hate Tom Brady, but then it's the Eagles defeating him?
I think you always root against the Eagles.
That's the kind of psychology you love exploring.
Exactly, Craig. Thank you so much for finally seeing that. I was on recently with James Amendola and Anthony Ragu, and I was telling him, yes, this is special.
The Touchdown Eagles, Brothers.
Yes, you know them. Okay.
Yeah, we know
them. Well,
you're
all in sports radio, you know.
Yeah.
To quote Norm Hitchkiss, another sports radio guy, Philly fans are cray-cray. I heard
him
say
that. Oh, yeah. He said that with Don.
You know, and hey, would you guys do me a favor? I know y'all work in sports radio, so if you ever see Norm Hitchkiss around, will you tell him that he's not that great? I mean, just kind of tell him that and just, you know, kind of tell him that he's not that great.
We see him every day, and we've been friends with Norm for over 25 years.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay. Well, it's 8:43 here on the ticket.
You don't have to do that.
I drank some Bix.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Time for books. Carlton Maxwell.
I bet you've written several just in time for Christmas.
I have, you know, Confronting Your Enemy, as we were talking about. I've actually written a whole book about that. This is called Confronting Your Enemy at 2:15 a.m., My Life and Marriage with Jerry Jones by Gene Jones.
Oh.
Gene Jones.
Wow, that's...
With a special foreword by Charlotte Anderson and Luke Bryan. They co-wrote a book.
Interesting.
Together. Yes, yes.
That sounds like it could be a revealing book.
And I actually have a ticket-related beat.
A ticket-related what?
Beak.
Beak?
I think you said book.
Beak.
Beak? Like on the front of a bird?
B-U-K. Beak. Beak.
Beak. Oh, book.
Yes.
Book.
That's what I've been saying, you fool. Swine. Okay. This is a... This is called, let's just say that those are the terms that it's currently being discussed, and then you have to flip it over to get the rest of the title, by just about everyone up there, The Impending Retirement of Mike Rayner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anonymously by his beneficiary, Kirby Davidson.
It's been going on for years.
Yes, it has. It has been going on for a while. And I brought you guys some coffee.
Oh.
It's hot and it's black.
Well.
It's hippie.
Right. I'll try a little bit of it.
Yeah. May I ask you a question, Dr. Maxwell?
No, really. I think I'm fine. George, please.
Oh, that's good coffee.
Wow. No, I just...
please.
What are you doing for Christmas?
Thank you, Greg. I'm spending it at home with my significant other.
And what's his name?
I'm Siri.
What
is my son's name for my first marriage?
No,
his
name is talking...
Joshua, and you knew that.
I was talking about your significant other.
My significant other's name is Chris.
Okay.
Chris.
I don't know why you're prying like that, Craig.
Craig, it's my own business.
Well, I just want to make sure you're having a nice Christmas.
And I can do whatever I want with my Yule log, bitch!
Oh, gosh. You made him mad again. There he goes. Dr. Carlton Maxwell. All right, it is.
Start off with an editor of a magazine. He is a e-break hero of yesteryear. He is one half of the T-Box on Saturday mornings with Rick Arnett. It is the great Craig Rosengarten. just a power of 2012, 2013. He's had a bit of a down 2015, but a late entry here.
Can I ask a question before we play this? Does this come from us? Does this come to us from Cars and Coffee or whatever event you guys? Not Cars and Coffee, but the
Avid Golfer event.
Okay. I've been made aware of some details of the Avid Golfer event that might have led to. There may or may not have been a Bloody Mary machine, right?
Well, really?
But it is Craig Rosenbrose at the same time. He's not exactly
even on water,
high quality broadcaster.
Whoa! He doesn't need PEDs, is what you're saying.
No. Right. So here's Rosenrosen, his entry.
If I had the opportunity to represent my country in any freaking thing, I would.
Not in the PGA Tour.
In anything. Nah. If they had tiddlywinks, I'm in. If I got to represent my country, I'm doing it.
And you know what?
And I'm going to do it with such vig and vigor and enthusiasm and passion.
Yeah.
Vig and vigor, not right?
I'm going to say.
What is it?
Yeah, vim and vigor. Yeah.
Vim and vigor, really?
Uh-huh.
Vim.
Yeah. Go with it. They know.
Damn, I was on a freaking roll.
They're full of it.
I really screwed that up.
Poor Craig. He got redemption last week on Rick Arnett, and now he's right back in the doghouse.
Oh, man. I was
There's a lot going on there because in the background you can hear Rick go, Vig. Vig.
I was hoping for a Vigor Fit reference, but
oh no,
I guess not.
He always sounds like he's ramping up to one every time he talks.
Yeah, just wait. I could tell right out of the gate there. That might be.
He actually
biased.
Did have two Saturday. That's the one I picked, but we could throw out the other
can
one.
Can we hear that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah.
Please.
Combo platter.
Did we feed the dog? Did she eat it up right away?
There you go.
She looks happy. God, that tongue just cracks me up. That's such a cartoon dog. It really is. It's a great character.
If she didn't have a litter, I'd take her home. But she's got a litter somewhere because she's got giant nipples or teeth. What are they?
Whoa.
What? She does. She's got giant. What? Why is that funny?
We could ask this fine young lady over here if you have giant whatever you just said. Does that mean you're caring? Sometimes, man.
Oh my.
Well, what? What? How would you have said it?
That is awesome. Sounds like it was a real time to be alive.
That's why we call him Johnny E-Brake.
Oh, my goodness.
Or teach or whatever.
Like I said, a down year, but boy, you're going to talk about
awesome.
Sending a message to your fan base.
And you know what? I would never try to use the term vim and vigor because it's an expression I don't understand. Vigor, sure, but I mean, I would just stay away from that one so as to
so
not.
So is vim a term used in yesteryear? I don't hear that
in
very
days
often.
Of yore.
In days of yore, yeah.
Like maybe 1920s reporter guy would drop a vim and vigor.
Didn't he star in Fast and the Furious?
Moving on. Our
it hasn't landed.
No.
It's not Sunday morning, Jake.
Yeah. Take your one.
Oh,
out
it
of
landed
here.
In here. I got it.
But right now, we welcome into the studio an old friend. He is let off leash once again by his handlers as part of their project and trying to integrate him into society. It is Mushmouth Thomas.
Wow, look at that. Hey. He's got like a wagon of
wow. Yeah. How are you, Mushmouth?
I'm doing pretty good.
And we understand that you're all excited about Christmas and that your visit is being called a very Mushmouth Christmas.
That's right, Craig. Thank you for knowing that. Yeah, Christmas is like one of my favorite holidays in December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd come by and I brought you guys some gifts.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Oh, look at that. He's got all
do
sorts
you guys
of gifts
like presents?
Yeah, we like presents.
So I brought them and I wrap them up for you real good.
Yeah, you did.
Do we have any Christmas music?
Jerry, give Mushmouth Thomas some Christmas music in there.
Okay, this first one is for Craig.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty good size box there.
Yeah, thank you, Mushmouth. Let me just open this up here.
We can open them now. You don't have to wait.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, look at this. It's a piece of string.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Mushmouth. Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, it was weird. I was just walking along in this place that had some grass. And I looked down, and there it was, like a diamond in the sand.
Oh.
And it really made me think of you, Craig.
Well, that's great.
Because I know how much you value string.
Yeah, I do, and thank you very much. It's really meaningful.
That's what people always say about you. He's a man who really values string.
You never heard that, never but that's that great. Yeah.
Okay, okay, Kyle, put one.
Let me see.
Which one's for me?
I still have a. This is for. Jaw!
Okay, good.
That one's for Jaw.
Yeah, this is a pretty big box here. Sorry, I didn't do that good a wrapping job. It's hard.
What is that?
Because my beak always.
Wait, you have a beak? This is breaking news.
I hope. This is mud? What exactly is this?
That's right. It is a handful of mud.
Okay, it's shaped.
No, I was walking through this area that was right by another place.
Yeah.
Okay, that's vague.
And I noticed that the ground was getting soft beneath my claws.
Okay.
And I looked down, and my heart just leapt for joy.
Why?
I thought, oh my God, I'm rich. Because there was mud all around.
Well, and you put it
and
into this.
I thought that I was going to sell all this, you know, and get rich. But then I thought, no, I'm going to take part of this and give to Jaw because I value him so much. And so I worked for several days to get it into that intricate shape.
Well, it's like in the shape of a, I guess, a ball or an egg. What is this exactly?
That's Lionel Richie.
Oh,
what do you mean? Ball?
I can see. It's Lionel Richie. Look at there, just like in the video. Hello,
come on, Ma.
Sorry. Oh, thank you, Mushmouth.
Cool.
That's
not
really
cool.
Oh, well, you've offended Mushmouth.
Oh, sorry. No, I can see it's clearly Lionel Richie.
That's what it is for Junior.
Oh, okay, wow, another one. Yeah. Oh gosh, that's great. Well,
if it doesn't fit, you can take it back.
Okay, thanks, Mushmouth. Well, what? Well, look at this. It's a stick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's not just any stick.
Really?
But a stick I found yesterday.
Well, that does make it special, and I really thank you for this stick.
Cool, man.
This is cool. Yeah, really cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that huge thing over there for me?
Yeah!
All right, hang on. I gotta cart this one. Oh, this thing's like the like a lawnmower is in there.
If you don't like it, you can give it to Craig for a stick.
Okay,
I don't know if I want to trade my stick.
Man, it's huge and it's moving a little bit.
Up, yeah.
It's moving a little bit.
What is that?
Oh my God!
It's a lion! I've captured it in Africa.
Oh my God!
Like a
That's
few
a real
hours
lion.
Ago. Oh my God!
Oh, good. Thank you guys for tasing him. As the door's closing, he's being tased, and
George
the lion also.
George isn't moving.
Wow.
No, I think I'm okay.
Are you okay, George?
Yeah, no.
George has just suffered a lion attack.
I don't think I've lost that much blood.
I wonder if he sees Santa Jesus.
Do.
That has to be the last time we let Mushmouth in studio. He is just too dangerous.
Hold on. These are George's last words, Craig.
Okay.
He sees Santa.
Santa?
At least I got to see my last gift. Lion. That I've always wanted.
It's like Marge.
Marge.
That was it. Oh.
There's nothing we can do for
just
him.
Heard.
Thank you, Mother Hubbard! Yay! Everyone's home!
Oh, happy day! Now it's Christmas!
All right, we'll get Brian Jones' reaction to Mushmouth's Christmas gifts
that
next.
The worst 5 minutes of radio.
The ticket.
Vin Diesel.
It's Cray Tray, the morning board op for the Musers, the first half hour. He works overnight. He's a friend to all of us, and sometimes...
He's a great kid, but...
Sometimes things go amiss when the Musers begin their show at 5:30, and I believe this happened on Monday morning.
1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Hello? Get his mic up. What does that mean? Now try. All right. It's 5:35 and Junior's got to find a working microphone. He's swinging around this other mama bear to see if it works. It's up and
hey, good morning. It's my bad. I had it on a different it was on a different channel for some reason. I should have checked that. My fault.
All right.
Thank you.
Go on with the show.
Hang in there, Cray Tray.
Now it is 5:36. We just wasted 1 minute of precious airtime.
Oh,
but it is 5:36 wow. on America's favorite radio stations.
Boy, the scorn of June's on the board up.
It is piercing.
It is.
Wow.
It's menacing.
You get that
wow.
look and it just goes right through you.
Boy. Can I ask why the mics at 5 a.m. would have been out of program one? Is that a weird question?
I think it's a valid question. I don't know why. Maybe they were recording something from in there the night before.
What if?
And somebody forgot to put it back.
Maybe the Tuesday Dallas,
morning?
Maybe the Dallas
Stars
Yeah,
it would
Stars
be Tuesday
minute.
Morning because that was Trey's first day back.
Yeah. What if I may have done that Monday night.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Just
wait a minute.
You should ask for legal representation and stayed quiet.
Because I did top 10 Monday. I don't want to leave Trey hanging out to dry. I think I was in there just
man.
Like a little kid hitting the buttons, and I must have forgot to put that one back.
So if
one.
He wins, are you going to take ownership of this
no.
emergency break?
He still should have checked it. Sorry, Trey.
Oh, come on. No
this
one's
is true.
Come.
He should still have checked it, but...
There's no way everybody who comes to the board checks every one of those single little settings that have to be right. You just assume that everybody has it
This
straight.
Is true. You play with stuff, you put it back the way you found it.
You know what happens right. when you assume, Jake?
Oh, my gosh, Grandpa.
But joining us now on the Ticket Hotline to talk about the Cowboys' loss in Green Bay, 28-7, the hands of the Packers, we say good morning to the owner and general manager, Jerry Jones.
Good morning to you guys, and we are.
You are what?
On with you.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Get your head out of your ass, Chuck.
Sorry.
Well, golly. how did that one sit with you yesterday?
Well, I think I thought the that the game was a loss for us
yeah.
personally, mm-hmm. Professionally. I thought our team was boring. I did. The defense was okay, but our offense was about as exciting as a lap dance from Gene.
Hey, stop talking about her. Stop it.
You know, neither one makes me want to stand up anymore, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey.
We're having fun, and we are.
This is fun.
We do.
Yep.
Did you guys notice that I was never caught on camera yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, I had requested that they not show me on the TV. I had made a new deal with Roosevelt to bring in a few restroom nookie girls to watch the game with me.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what me and the football team had in common yesterday?
What's that?
By halftime, neither one of us had scored. Nothing. Just had nothing.
I'm sorry to hear that, Jerry.
Yeah, they never showed you on the video screen yesterday.
You said that a little weird, I thought.
Really? Which part?
But I'm glad they didn't show me because I got sick after so much Johnny Walker there in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find a place to throw up. So in a panic, I had to quickly vomit into my toupee and slap it back down on my head before anyone saw my bald spot. So I sat there the whole rest of the game with what looked like a combination of vegetable soup and oatmeal running down my temples.
Gross.
Oh, man.
Just seeping out.
Come on. People are eating down my breakfast face. Right now. Stop.
Hey, let's not spake of Johnny Walker. Let's spake of Johnny Football.
Spake.
Yeah, he looked pretty good yesterday.
Well, I bet you really want him now.
Yeah, did you see where old Johnny Football played pretty good yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their team won.
I'm going to send my personal party patrol back up to Cleveland and try to get Johnny drunk enough to climb in a trunk so I can smuggle him back down here.
Well, they may cut him still, but he may not be available. You may have to go
did
find
you
a corner.
See the wow. passion? He had the passion.
That's what you want, passion.
That's what I want. I want the passion. Did you see where he slammed that computer internet tablet against his forehead?
Yeah.
That's the kind of passion I want backing up Tony Romo next year, not the calm, collected, non-tablet slamming Matt Castle. The one that overthrows every receiver he's ever seen.
He does seem to overthrow a lot, yeah.
He's just a spaz. He's a spasmodic. Hey, and you know what? Next game, I'm thinking about ordering my puppet to not start Matt Castle. What do you think about that?
Wow, that would be interesting. Make some news.
Kellen Moore?
No. Gene made me promise to start Jerry Jr. one game.
Oh, no.
So he's got his little Hutch helmet and everything, and he wants to get out there and play a few series.
You better give him a real helmet at least.
So I'm thinking, you know what? I can solve two problems at once, make Gene happy, order the offensive line to stand down, and watch him get his clock cleaned.
Oh, gosh. That's your son.
Knock that SOB in the next week.
Hey.
But no, I obviously I can't do that because despite my desire to paternity test him, he is my son, in at least legally.
Right.
And so I got to take care of Jerry Jr.
That's right.
And next weekend, I got other plans than to go see my football team lose again. I'm going to take my two sons, Stephen and Junior, to see that new Star Wars movie.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, well, it hadn't come out.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the new ones since that one that came out back in the bicentennial time. They still have WD-40 and CP-3O and
close enough.
And them picture shows.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, didn't you tell us once you had seen the trilogy?
Yeah, the trilogy. I love that trilogy. First trilogy. Them original talkies they made were real good.
Yeah.
I just wish they had developed that Arkansas love story between Luke Skywalking and Princess Leia a little bit more.
Walker.
I wanted them to make sweet Arkansas love.
Hey, we don't want to see
sister.
That. No.
You know, that's good, though, that you're seeing the movie. That'll distract from all the criticism you've been getting.
Okay, that was said a little weird. That was all about. Hey, you guys written your Christmas letters to Santa this
yes,
year?
Yes, I have. I have. Have you?
Yeah, I have. The only thing I want for Christmas is a top five pick that I can use to trade down and take about seven guys from Arkansas. I think at the team Christmas party this year, I'm going to give all the players and coaches an iTunes gift card with about 50 cents each on them. Mm-hmm. And then when they tell me that they can't buy anything with it, I say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you something that was worth enough to get anything. Well, now you know how I feel.
Oh,
now you know how I feel.
Wow, that's bitter.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
And Christmas is dead.
Hey, no, it's not. No, it's not. That's a very upset and irate Jerry Jones. You guys have heard this story, the P1s of nuts. I'll tell it just real quick and we'll get out of here. I'm in a band called the Bird Dogs, for those that don't know, if you just tuned in. And we've been doing songs now for about 7-8 years or so. And I've just written about life experiences. And this past training camp, I missed playing guitar, so I went and found the cheapest guitar I could find and sat down, started playing with the idea of I'm just going to play something or I'm going to write something. And I'm just going to let the ocean, looking at the ocean, just make me think of something. And I just start thinking about we don't tell each other enough how much we care about one another, or we don't tell each other enough what's on our mind, if it's either good or bad. So I just like to take a moment. Thank you. I love you guys. Thanks for coming up here. I appreciate that. And so I wrote this song, and the hook of it is, tell me how you feel. Do we often really tell each other how we feel? So when we got back to the Metroplex, I found out some really sad news that a friend of ours had passed away. And when I talked to her husband, Dow, he told me that, you know, one of the things late in her life was, as he was talking to her, she would never really say how she felt. Here she's going through the misery of cancer, and she would often say, oh, you know, I feel fine. And he'd say, no, you know, tell me how you feel. And she was such a trooper, just like Rhett's brother Ashley was. She never would really say. But her name was Beth. And that night when we went over to see the Strawmuller family, I played him this song. because, you know, I felt like somehow I wrote this song for a reason. And we're going to record it at the end of November. So it's called Tell Me How You Feel, and or Beth, one of the two. But it's for Beth and the Strawmuller. So here we go. Live on the Ticket.
You only say those things when you're drinking. I never notice what to say. And I'm the one who's always dreaming. Who's to say it doesn't pay? We'll take it on down the line. Don't even waste your time wondering what's right and what's real. Well, give me more than just a sign and tell me how you feel. Covered up in mixed emotion, wonder if this is all there is. Questioning your own devotion, 'cause all your friends just reminisce. We'll take it on down the line. Don't even waste your time looking for a better deal. Well, put your arms around me, baby, and tell me how you feel. Well, it's always something somewhere. You just need somebody to be there for you. Well, put your arms around me, baby, and tell me how.
We're gone, we're gone, we're gone, we're gone.